world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters.
Monsters.
Why, yes it is. Hey, you wanted the best. You've got the best, the hottest talk show in the morning anywhere in the whole freaking country. It's the Monsters Mornings. Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. When you have that, you can take us anywhere in the world. I've talked to a lot of people that listen to us all over the country on iHeartRadio. But it's so great to go to something like that where you meet a bunch of listeners and you meet people that are actually listening and to see how they listen. It's pretty cool. And iHeartRadio is one way of doing it. A lot of people listen on our YouTube channel, Real Radio Monsters on YouTube. We appreciate that. The way to find everything is to go to monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. Hey, man, I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program. And with everyone this morning, we're doing this until 11 o'clock. Here's the producer, the Angel of Boom, Angel Rivera. To my right, Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
So time never stop, baby.
And to my left is the actual heir to the King of Denmark, Ryan Holmes.
Yay!
The telephone number you can dial if you want to call us is 407-916-1041. That's the phone number. Now, you can do that when we do the six things you knew we talk about. We'll do that at 7 o'clock. Well, we got a little bit of trivia we're going to do. We're going to open up the phones just for you to call and say whatever you want to. So you can call us then. You can text us now. People have already been texting and saying good morning, and we appreciate that. I have not been able to text anyone back this morning, but I'll get to it here in a second. And you can text us at 77031. It is sponsored by Sutherland Nissan, which is OrlandoNissan.com, and we do use that a lot. And then email. I got a couple email today that we got to get to if we can. If not, we'll do it tomorrow. But you can email me, Russ at WTKS.com, if you've got a pressing situation. One of them is kind of pressing, and we'll get to that one there in a little bit. Man, it was, for me, a long, long weekend. I know everybody has some story to tell us. I know everybody had something cool that happened this weekend. It was a great weekend for a lot of people. Weather was perfect, but I was in the Orange County Convention Center from Thursday until Sunday. I mean, like every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for MegaCon, which this is the first time I've been at something this big for that long. And it's amazing. And they say over 100,000 people went through there.
Wow. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it was. And I know you, I saw you on Sunday.
Yeah.
And you were like, man, this is big. And I'm like, bro, this ain't even, I mean, Sunday was nothing compared to Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's one of the biggest ones in the country.
Mm.
Yeah,
well, you can tell the sheer size or volume of the event when it starts impacting other things in the city. When they're starting to have other parties and other events off-site, when they're starting to do other things, and it kind of embraces or engulfs all, like iDrive, a couple things I went to on iDrive, there was other people from that event at other things. They had events and parties downtown Orlando. They were doing things off-site, you know, away from iDrive, which lets you know how huge it is when you have that many people that are willing to go around town.
Right.
Yeah. It was a great experience, I will say. It really, really was. I got a bunch of stuff, a bunch of observations about it. First off, you know, what a lot of, I'm not saying everybody, and these are just generalizations just from the people that I met and watched and saw and everything. A lot of these people, a lot of people go to MegaCon, are really into you know, sci-fi and comic books and all that kind of stuff, were outcast at some time, you know? Mm-hmm. Outcast maybe in high school, outcast maybe at work, or people that maybe didn't fit in, but they found a bunch of other folks where they do fit in together, so they all dress up together, and they all go out and party together, and what a really nice group of people. I mean, everybody that came by were super, super nice people. I talked to security. They said they had not one problem, 100,000 people, not one fight, not one problem. Everybody was high-fiving, loving each other, you know, all races. It's not, you know, I know a lot of, it used to be, it was like, oh, that's only for white people. Not anymore. You're talking, I mean, Hispanic, you're talking black, you're talking white, you're talking like all together.
I saw an Eskimo out there. That was cool.
people dressed up, you know, whether it's a Black Panther or whether it's a fat Iron Man. I did see a fat Iron Man.
A lot of fat Thors. A lot of fat
Thors. This is their moment for that
style of body of nude.
Saw that, and not a lot of makeup or body, you know, suits required. It was just kind of like woke up in a robe.
A lot of women, a lot of lesbians. I'm just going to straight up tell you, a lot of lesbians love, absolutely love MegaCon. They like dressing up and holding hands and walking around. And hey, that's your business. I ain't mad at you. That's fine. You know, and a lot the bodysuit thing. The bodysuit thing when the bodysuit goes right up your crack and the camel toe.
You look good in it, dude.
God bless America. Yeah, you look great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it really accentuates your hips.
Yeah, you really, really taut ass.
America's ass.
They call it a country ass, boys. That was an observation. A lot of lesbians. A lot of really tight things. And you know what?
Weird they all get along, being that the different fandoms are so hardcore in their own fandom that they wouldn't just all street fight every 5 minutes. Right.
But you know, Ryan, I think they all
it's
know.
It's neutral territory, that's
it's
why.
Neutral territory. They all, yeah. Like, listen.
Switzerland.
You're an outcast, and a lot of people in the anime. Like, that was more than Avengers, more than DC characters. Anime ruled. It was anime, and I'm like, what character is that? And you're like, it's some Japanese.
That's Spencer Street.
And they get off on having some weird character
the more obscure.
Yeah. That is obscure, and you gotta like, oh, wow, okay, you gotta find it in some comic book. They love dressing up like that, you know?
I like when they mash two very obscure characters, and you can just tell me anything that you are at that point.
They had Captain America and Jack Sparrow, and it was Captain Jack Sparrow. So he looked like, you know, for Pirates of the Caribbean up here, but he had on a Captain America cut. And I'm like, that's Captain Jack. I made me laugh.
He just lost two costume pieces.
Exactly. Yeah. He just mixed matches.
Okay, I could be Captain America.
The speed that they get him out, though. The one guy had that the Avengers time-traveling suit from Endgame. Like, you know, that white one where they all wear it? But it was Wolverine's, like, from the comic books, head and, like, all as that time-traveling suit. And I'm like, you had, like, what, like a month maybe to get this together? So it was really impressive.
A lot of impressive. And I will say this. I've been saying this for a long time. I'm going to say it again. I do not believe nor do it. And I was told a long time ago. This was way back when I first started radio. If you live by the book, you die by the book. So if you think everything that the book, you know, that's the way they.
The rating system.
If you believe everything the rating systems tell you, then you're going to die by that. And that's why you don't hear me celebrating anytime. You know, we don't celebrate we're number one any longer. Because I'm like, yeah, if you suck in too much of that, then you're going to have to believe when they're saying, oh my God, you're terrible. Something we always hear is women don't listen to the monsters.
Yeah.
Women don't listen to real radio. You don't have any women listeners. There are no females listening. That is 100% BS.
Oh, yeah.
Look, you can tell me that till you're blue in the face. I don't care what your report says. I don't care what you think your ratings say. I had so many female listeners, and I would say, well, they say women don't listen. And look, I even have, here's a compilation of all them. This is like one of the first females that stopped by. She's a huge fan. I mean, they're another female,
Yeah, man.
I mean, another female. I mean, left and right, that she was a listener. I mean, it's so many female listeners, and, you know, they tell us, you women don't listen. That's BS. And I'm sitting right by the, it's the iHeart booth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's, you know, me with Big City Comics, and the iHeart booth is next to us. Now, they didn't make it just real radio, because they're like, well, you want to, you know, support all the stations. Fine, whatever.
Whatever.
I mean, whatever. You know, like, I'm the only one here all weekend, but yet you're going to, okay, fine, the other stations are with us. So I'm able to listen as people are coming up and walking up to the iHeart booth, okay? No, I mean, I'm... I listen to real radio. Oh, I listen to the monsters. Oh, I listen to real radio. And they had to say, oh, that's Russ over there from the monsters all day long.
Yep.
No offense to the other stations. I didn't hear anyone getting excited about anyone else. Pat and Taco, maybe three times. Other than that, it's like, I love real radio. I love the monsters. I really, left and right, man. So,
yeah. And I asked the woman, I'm like, why do you listen? They're like, because you guys are so hot.
Hell yeah.
It ain't no
fat Thor's
here. Yeah, that flexed on him.
And I thought to myself, why is it all the ladies are coming up and saying hi? I mean, are they just more outgoing? Are they just more, am I just that hot? Maybe that could be it.
I think that's what it
you
is.
You know?
The flattest of flat tops.
Yeah.
Here's what I had people saying. First off, where's Carlos? When's Carlos going to be here? I mean, he's going to be here on Sunday. Oh, I love Carlos. I love To the Top. It puts me in a good mood. I'm like, that's awesome. You know, I need the motivation.
Yes,
I'm like,
I love it.
I'm like, that's, well, he'll be here on Sunday. That's awesome. Then man, why, Russ, why are you guys so hard on Ryan Holmes?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I love
Booger Beer. Why are you guys so mean to Booger Beer? Where is he? Where are his boogers?
Booger Beer, yes.
He under the table crying right now?
They would laugh and say, oh Booger Beard, you're so...
He's fine.
And does Angel really hate Booger Beard? That's another one. Does Angel really hate Booger Beard? And I'm like, he doesn't hate him. He's like, we're teasing him.
He highly dislikes
him. No, he hates me. This is a hostile work environment. Somebody help me.
But left and right, people saying, you made the right decision. Ryan Holmes is the best. You did it. You did a good job, Russ. Can't believe, a lot of people are like, man, I grew up listening to you. You've been successful with every single, a cast that you've had. It's amazing. Like, I've had so many nice people came to that event. I worked at it all weekend. My wife's not too happy because I was away all weekend, but I'm glad I did it. You know what I mean?
I'm super
glad I did it. Met a ton of nice people.
It's great for your comic book, man. I mean, everybody was really impressed by it. I mean, and coming by the entire time, and you should be. You should be very proud of it.
Comic book is no joke. I talked to some people from DC who really enjoyed it. They loved it. And people were buying. We sold out of issue one. We still have a couple of issue three left, but we sold so many. It was great. And we were invited to go out to San Diego for Comic-Con, which is like the Super Bowl of it all.
Yeah, man.
And I'm telling you right now, this comic book is going to be made into either a television show or a movie.
I love it.
It's going to happen. And by talking to some of the right people, and we're going to meet with some people in San Diego. That's one of the reasons why I wrote Carlos in as a character, because he's an actor, and that's his role.
I love it, man.
And that's the role in the comic book that we put for him is a ongoing,
Yeah, regular.
It's a regular. I mean, if he dies, it'll be real. If he dies, I'm really pissed at Carlos.
Damn, what do I do?
No, I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's a major character in the comic book. But talking to people that actually read it and other people who know folks that make things into television shows and movies, this is going to happen.
Yeah, man, I believe it.
So that's pretty much the only reason we're going out to San Diego to Comic-Con out there, because people bought the comic book here in Orlando because,
they're connected to you, they know you, they heard about it, all the reasons.
And it's for the incredible support, and I want to thank everybody for that. I mean, it really means a lot to me that you support something that was a dream of mine. I mean, last year, I was walking around MegaCon going, man, wouldn't it be cool if my character was here? Wouldn't it be cool if my comic book was here next year, And then to be here this year, and I've got three issues out, and people really dig it, pretty good feeling.
Yeah, it should feel good, man. And you see people who don't really know you either coming up there and reading it and like, oh, this is awesome, It's great, man. It takes a lot of work to put that together. And you and Jeffrey really, you got something special there.
Well, that's what I had to remind people is don't, because I had people talking about how they want to make their dream come true. And I said, listen, a dream is really not, a dream is a weird way to say it. It's not just a dream. You actually have to work your ass off.
Yeah.
It's not, probably not the right word for it, because dreaming means you lay back and you think about it and it happens.
You wait for it to knock at the door. Hey, I'm here.
That's
your dream.
Yeah, here's your comic book.
Here's your comic book. It's all done.
Just go get it printed.
You don't have to do anything. That's not the way it works. It's a lot of hard, we were there. A lot of hard work. You got to tear down the booth. You got to do it, and thank you to Jeff Kaufman, who did an incredible job this weekend. He really wanted to jab his ass. Is that one of these things someone came up with? Oh, you're Stephen Kramer, right?
That's funny, though.
Oh, that was,
I would have paid $5
to do that. That's a stinger. but I'm sure Stephen Kramer would hate the same thing.
All those lawyers, they work so hard to get their name out there. You confuse one. Like, God.
Yeah.
Hey, you're putting on a Pitbull concert, right?
Hey, take some Pitbull tickets.
Yeah. But if you did come by MegaCon and support, Carlos and have photos with him, because he was there Sunday and had a bunch of people came to see him.
Man, it was awesome.
If you supported me in the comic book or Kaufman or came by and said hi, or just, if you're a female listener, they're all checking in right now.
They're offended.
No, they're all unicorns. They don't exist. According to the bigger ups here, no women love you guys. There's not a woman that listens. That's BS, man. I met so many women this week, and they listen, their husband don't listen. Left and right. And I'm like, well, I'm told that you don't listen because you're a female. That's BS, Russ. I mean, I heard that all weekend long, and it felt good.
You're getting a raid checking in. African American female, lesbian female, female and her sister both listen right now. I listen female in Georgia
you
right
see
now.
See the one from Ruth?
It's almost like they have brains of their own and they actually can listen. Oh, they don't have to have some big...
One of the best texts of this morning, Ben, it comes from Ruth. Morning, monsters. Huh? Last time I checked out was a female.
Yeah.
Pause. Yep, still a female.
Well,
I know what you were doing there, Ruth.
It was a damn pleasure to meet all the females and all the guys that stopped by too at MegaCon. It was a great event. You got pictures with boy. See, here's the thing. I'm the host. I'm like, oh yeah, Russ, we know you. Carlos is the star. Oh, he's on a movie. He's on TV. When's Carlos? Russ, when's Carlos coming? I'm like, he'll be here on Sunday. Oh, can you make it so I can meet him? Yeah, I probably can work that out.
I know him. It's whatever.
I've been blessed to be a part of some really cool things, and obviously including this show. And when it all mixes together, it's a beautiful thing like that, man.
Oh, there's another part I want to talk about. This we're going to move on. We're going to do Runway to Hope, but you just said something that reminded me of something I want to bring up. So we got a lot of stuff to handle today. It's a beautiful Monday. Please stick with us. Your chance to win $1,000 all day today here. I think we've given away $16,000 so far.
That's a nice little
check. Can be next, so keep listening. You're listening to the Monsters in the Morning.
You might not have many friends, but we definitely don't. So, hey Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
An awesome weekend. If you didn't, well, maybe you can have an awesome day today and you can win that $1,000 because we're giving away another $1,000 today. Hell, we could give away $16,000 today. There's 16 chances. I'd love it to be 16 straight Real Radio listeners. That would be awesome. Give it a shot. Just text the keyword to 200-200. Be prepared to get a phone call from iHeartRadio about an hour afterwards. You got to pick up the phone. There have been two people so far in our audience that had the call, didn't pick up the phone, let it go to voicemail, and lost the money. It's almost like fishing, guys. You get it on the hook,
and you gotta reel that in.
You gotta reel it in, man. You get it in the boat. That's the only way you're gonna win that $1,000. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos and Ryan Holmes, all here today, doing a quick wrap up of MegaCon, and then we're gonna find out what happened with Runway to Hope, and we got Game of Thrones, and we got a bunch of stuff going on today. But MegaCon was in Orlando, big event. For the Southeast, I mean, I did not realize how big of a convention this is with over 100,000 people joining. The big draw was like every cast member from
Back to the Future,
except for Crispin Glover, who's they don't all hang out.
Yeah,
he's not a fan of them.
He ain't a fan of them. But everyone that I talked to that paid the $300 to meet Michael J. Fox, what you were supposed to do is not talk to him, go sit by him, take a picture, and leave. You weren't supposed to say anything to him. But I talked to several people that said, you know, they said, "Hi, Michael, I love you," and he's like, "Thank you." Said he was super nice.
Yeah,
it's just the handlers don't want
how they're just trying to keep the line moving.
Keep it moving. Yeah. But said he was just gracious. Leah Thompson, everybody said, "Oh, she was beautiful." Who else? Biff. I heard nothing but great things about that entire experience, you know. So that's kind of cool. What was the other experience I was telling you about, Carlos? There was someone else that
said something mixed together.
Keith or Sutherland.
Yeah.
Keith or Sutherland. They said he would not do anything. I guess he was there for Lost Boys, right?
Right. Yep.
And when I think of Lost Boys, that's who I remember is Keith or Sutherland, the teeth, and he was the vampire. But I guess there were other people that were in the movie that were allegedly the more of the star.
Jason, what's his name? The other guy was there. Jason, the guy.
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman's older brother in the movie was there this weekend too.
Yes, and that was they said that was the guy that was the star.
Jason, what's Patrick? Yeah, there it is.
That's it, Jason Patrick. Well, people took photos with them, and those two were in the room together doing a Q&A. But I was told by let's say some upper ups that Keith or Sutherland would not be in the same room with Corey Feldman.
Well, I wouldn't either. That guy's gone nutty.
Well, that's it. All the controversy of him saying, you know, what was it? He was hinting that someone molested him, and he said, "I'm gonna do a movie about it if you give me money. You know, if you donate some money."
He wants to make a documentary about the the molestation of kids in Hollywood, and that he has all the names and he has everything, but he needs the money to make the documentary.
And at some point, he's going to tell, you know, he's going to drop it all for the right amount of money. And so I guess Keith Sutherland didn't want to have anything to do with that.
Which
I don't blame him, right?
Yeah.
Corey Feldman, the one that's still alive, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He has that band, and that he has Corey's angels, and it's this like harem of ladies that like he like rolls with him at all times.
He's amazing.
He's got a weird situation of his own.
Corey's angels. That was
yeah. They're called Corey's angels, and then so they play the instruments in his band, which is I don't know if you ever get a chance to check out YouTube video of his band. I think he did Good Morning America one time.
He did, and he dances just like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So here's something, and I don't want to say who it is. I told you, but I'm not gonna say who it is because they listen and they're gonna email me. Blah 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 blah. So I won't say who it is. But here's some comments that I fielded, and I've had to field before, and Carlos, you've been doing this as long as I have,
yeah.
And Angel has as well. So you know, yeah. Get your perspective on this. So talking, you know, I'm sitting there signing comic books, you know, and this dude comes over and he starts talking and goes, oh, you know, oh, these are all listeners buying your comic book, yeah. Oh, so they wouldn't be buying it if you weren't in the radio. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, something it's doing a little bit more. You know, and then I start talking to someone, and then we start talking about the idea of this becoming possibly coming a movie, and talking to some people from Warner Brothers and some people that you know, and the same person like, oh, well, you know, the only reason they'd make it a movie is because you're on the radio. And then another, and then there was another thing. I forget what it was, and it was like, oh, well, they're only doing that because you're on the radio. And I'm like, dude, I get it, dude. I said, but what you don't understand is just getting on the radio isn't what I did. I mean, there was a lot of hard work to getting on the radio, and it is the person I am now, and that's all the package. So I'm not going to make it feel... Don't try to make me feel like because I'm on the radio, all this isn't real. I mean, you wouldn't be having this opportunity if, but yeah, I know that. I realize I wouldn't have this opportunity if I weren't on the radio, but I am on the radio, right. And I did bust my ass to get here, and I've been doing it for 26 years. So anything that happens because I'm on the radio, it's me. That's me. I'm the guy on the radio. I've given off my, you know. So that's something I've heard so many times. Oh, you wouldn't have gotten the professional wrestle if it weren't for being on the radio. Okay. But I am on the radio. You wouldn't have gotten a chance to do this, you know, the play at Hard Rock Live if you weren't on the radio. Okay, I know that, but that you got to use what you have, and that's what I have. So whatever, it doesn't make it seem less to me just because someone might give me a special break because we do the radio show.
It says everything about that person. That person making that commentary, you know, for whatever reason, they're feeling like they're having, you know, how me being on the radio is taken away from you.
Yeah.
Am I taking a shot away from you? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're trying to imply? Are you thinking that I'm standing in your space? Because if you were good enough, you would take my space.
Well, and this is coming from a person that used to be on the radio and is not anymore. Mm. You know, so they do.
Right. And if that person had any talent or any skills, they would take my space.
No.
They would do, if they were good at what they did, talent always comes to the top. If you have talent, if you're good enough, you can take it. You could do it, right?
If my comic book wasn't any good, nobody would really want it.
It would have crashed and burned a year ago.
It's crap. I don't want it.
But
you know?
Russ, you're forgetting that you were just handed your job. I mean, you just you just started this. You got very lucky, and everything's kind of worked out in your favor.
Yeah, I barely had to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's almost like that's what they're saying. Oh, well, you just were given this. So you know, if it's made in a movie, it's only because you're on the radio. Cool. Like, I'll take that. That's part of me. That's,
yeah,
that's you know, I've had, you know, oh, this girl only dated you because you were on the radio. Okay, but that is my reality. That's who I am. And I'm sure you've had people say the same thing to you. Oh, the only reason you got that shot is because you're on the radio.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
your ass?
No, I used to kind of bother
me. It chaps
me.
My ass.
But they're so disconnected, all of them. Like, when I hear that, this is what I hear.
Yeah.
I can't get on a TV show because I'm not on the radio. And that gives them the excuse.
Yeah, right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, there's a definitive reason that they've created in their head that why they haven't gone towards their dreams. And so when I hear that, I just hear them speaking about themselves. Oh, I can't write a comic book. Well, because I don't have the radio.
Yeah.
And it makes them feel good.
Uh-huh.
And so then they have to, in turn, vocalize that. It's a weird...
something else he said. I wasn't talking to this guy because he was irritating me. I was talking to other people, and I was talking about Ryan and Angel and Savannah doing Runway to Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, last year they asked about the stuff I donated, and I said, well, I donated some comic book stuff. Last year I donated a painting, and the guy challenged me, oh, they buy your painting? Like, yeah, last year it went for $2,500 or whatever. And he's like, oh, it's only because you're on the radio. I'm like, Yeah. And you know what? You're right. The only reason someone would buy my painting is because I'm on the radio. I know that. I'm not a great painter, but it's value to some people. And it's almost like, you know, oh, well, you're on the radio. That negates everything you've done in your life.
Right, right. In this day and age where you have to be multidimensional, I mean, how many books would Howard Stern sell if he wasn't on the radio?
I don't negate him for that.
Absolutely, like, not, no. Because it's all part of it. It's all part of it these days. And for anybody to disqualify something or discredit something because of a facet of what you do,
yeah,
is more about that person.
Yeah, it's everything's a build-up, right? Like, you started your business, and you're like, okay, well, this is, and then you got into radio, and now radio's part of you, and now you can get to do all this other stuff because you did all this other stuff. All of life's a stepping stone.
The ultimate payback, or the ultimate, I mean, where you sit back and grin is like, the reason you're standing here getting at me is because I'm the radio bitch.
Yeah.
And if you could do what I do, you'd be doing it. And so
Angel,
shut up.
Angel, the total time this guy's saying this, right, I'm signing autographs and signing comic books to people, and they're like, we want all three.
Oh,
and
that's funny,
and this guy's standing, he used to be in radio, right? And he hasn't been in a long time. And the only reason they're doing it because you're on the radio.
Come on, man.
Okay,
that's
I guess that's
the hustle.
But you don't just get on the radio. There's a lot of work to get there.
I did.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I just kind of showed up and I was like, just walked in.
You actually haven't left yet.
Yeah, I live here.
You know, it happens a lot.
Where's Booger Beard? I heard that a lot.
I get that all the time. People think I just showed up and like I didn't do like 8 years of work and like in comedy and do all this other stuff.
You tell him you walked in here and kiss makeup one time.
Yeah.
You know, literally, when the contest was happening, the only one that came in with kiss makeup and said, I've listened to the show since I was a kid, was Ryan. And if you don't think that had something to do in the back of my mind with wanting to pick this kid, you're wrong. And so he had to do something.
Oh, you were sucking up since then.
Oh, yeah, but he's smart.
I've been listening to the show.
Angel, you know that's the best way to get stuff out of me.
I'm breaking balls.
It happens on every level. Brendan Schaub, who had his Showtime. He was a former UFC fighter who's transitioned into comedy and has a successful podcast and had a Showtime special this weekend.
Yeah.
You check his comments. Oh, he only has this Showtime special because of his podcast.
Why do people do that?
Because it's them, Russ.
Yeah.
It's them speaking about how they feel about themselves. It gives them, it's a weird thing, okay? It's not the same thing, right? It's not the same thing, but it's a little parallel, okay? When somebody, the person died. Well, what'd they die from? And they go, this is a really bad example.
Yeah.
They had lung cancer. Well, did they smoke? Well, you know, it gives me a reason. I don't smoke, so I'll never get lung cancer.
Right,
you know,
right.
I know it's a really weird parallel.
It's to justify their place in life.
Exactly. And it's a concrete, somewhat concrete reason that they give themselves to not go after their dreams, to not go after what they really want. When the fact of the matter is, they're all different. But yes, of course it helps you. When the radio, you're the product. We're the product here.
And you know what? And I didn't want to get into an argument with the guy because I didn't really want to talk to him. But when the comment came up about the Jolly Jane, the comic book being made into a movie, the only reason they do that is because you're on the radio. No, actually, people who make movies don't really care about radio.
God,
radio is the cockroach of entertainment. It is the smallest form of, no one in that industry is giving me any extra anything because to make that into a movie because we're on the radio. Radio is not as sexy to the rest of entertainment.
I've obviously heard that with people say, they put you on Walking Dead because of the radio. and I just like... When I was, I remember
it has nothing to do with acting class or your talent.
The years or 5 years, whatever.
No, it's just because you're on the radio.
Yeah, I remember talking to Scott Gimble, who is the executive. Oh, people have said that. And I remember when Scott was like, and I hear you're on the radio. Like, it was like a nice thing. It was like
an afterthought.
Yeah, it was an afterthought. You know, it was like the AMC heads were like, hey, listen, if he continues mentioning The Walking Dead, we're going to stay on a couple more years.
Okay. Our Central Florida numbers are really going to push us through.
Did it help? Absolutely, but they've never been connected. Will I think it will connect one day? Absolutely. I think I'll be sitting in some room one day with some producer and be like, you know, I used to listen to you back in the day, you know, whatever it is. But they're so...
And I will accept stuff like that with open arms.
Absolutely.
If for some reason somebody gives me a chance because of the radio show, I am not going to apologize for it or even feel bad about it.
Nope.
Dude, you don't understand. This has been my life for 26 some odd years. I've shared everything. I've almost given up a lot of stuff, you know, because of... So, no, if I get... he was like, people are only asking for your comic book because you're on the radio. Okay, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's part of me. This is all me. Yeah. You know, but on every level, man, it happens. And when I hear something like that, I actually challenge those people. The second I do, like, what are you doing in your life right now?
Yeah.
And they usually shut the hell up because they have nothing going on, and that's how it usually shuts down. I go, tell me about what you got going on in your life.
Well, right now I'm in the process of actually getting together a LLC.
I'm thinking about this. Yeah. Now let me say, I'm bitching about one person that came to MegaCon. Everybody else was so nice, and thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
it gave me some belief again that, you know, women do listen to the show, because you get told by the upper ups that, oh, there's no women listening. Yeah, that's BS. They are, and it was neat. It was really neat to hear how much the people that listen love you three. You know, and Savannah. Savannah got brought up quite a bit as well. So and Jeff Kaufman. They love meeting Jeff. Jeff is so great with listeners. Yeah. He will talk and talk and talk.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good for 2 minutes. He's good for 15.
Yeah.
He will talk, man. God bless him.
I'm good for an hour, dog.
You are? Yeah. Carlos is good at that, too. He's pretty good at it. All right, listen, when we come back, we'll find out what happened with Runway to Hope, and we got the 6 things you knew we talk about coming up soon. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. This is a listener that came by, and she was in Miss Monster years ago. She brought pictures, and now she brought her kid. Still beautiful, so nice. Met a lot of nice people at MegaCon. Thank you so much for coming out. And it was nice to just meet a bunch of cool listeners. A lot of ladies. They tell us ladies don't listen. I think that's balderdash. They do. And it was a great time at MegaCon. I will say this, though. And I know you might make fun of me or whatever, but I did miss my wife. It was Thursday night, Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday.
You big sap.
And
whatever. You're not supposed to have feelings.
And I missed her, man. I really did. That was the most I hadn't seen her. And of course, I invited her to come out, but that's not her thing. And someone has put in her head that it's okay not to come and stand by my side the entire time.
I'm setting her relationship, bro.
You know, that's probably the best advice he's given her.
And you know what? He's right. I know he's right. Yeah. Because imagine if you had to sit and watch me just sign autographs and everybody tell me how much they love me.
Right.
And you're my wife.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, listen, I've had enough of this. So, you know, it is good that she didn't come. But I really did miss her. And I couldn't wait to get home to her last night. And by the time I got home, she was asleep. So I really hadn't seen her all since Thursday. But it was a great time. And,
so you stayed out there and everything.
Huh?
You say you had a whole weekend.
No, I drove home, but she, by the time I got home at 9, she's asleep. She's me. She likes, you know, she's, and I get a little kiss goodnight, but she's asleep. So for the entire, you know, Thursday through Sunday, I really hadn't spent any time with her. So I'm looking forward to seeing her today, and I'm looking forward to watching the Game of Thrones with her. I will say this, that while I was out there, Tanya, a bunch of people from the YouTube channel came, and they reported to me that somebody, Carlos, got way I love you drunk on Friday night at Ember.
Oh, yeah, that did.
Man.
Ember's fun, man. I'll tell you what.
Embarrassing I love you drunk, from what I understand.
No,
From table to table and saying, you people, you love me, I love you. Man. And this is the love that I have. You heard him, remember, on the bus?
Yeah,
same thing on the bus.
Exactly. He has a couple dozen drinks, and now all of a sudden he's lovey-dovey.
He has two beers, and he's I love you drunk.
Two beers. Vinny from the YouTube chat was Phil trying to murder me with tequila. just kept coming over with more and more tequila. I don't want to be rude. So,
heaven forbid.
I take the tequila shots, you know, but,
my God,
it's so, like, it's funny because I get there every time and I'm like, all right, I'm just me here. I'm like, no one's going to show up. And then A little bit of time goes by, and so many, like, we were taking tables from other people, like, these reserve tables, like, yeah, I don't need them, these are ours now. Like, we were, like, annexing other people's
What situation. Do you remember about the I love you drunk? Because about four people that came by said, oh, my God, Ryan was I love you drunk.
It's not I love you. I love the listeners, and I feel really happy when they're there to hang out and talk about the show, and they're really nice to me, so I like to reciprocate. Like, there could be a way worse version of drunk person
I
could be.
I agree. It's just, I guess you were hugging the men and kissing them on the cheeks and the ladies too. And
I think that's a bit of a fabrication.
Really?
Maybe it's not. I don't know. Last time I was at Ember, I was touching people's beards.
Oh, God.
I just want to see what that feel like.
And the ladies hate that when you touch their beards.
but yeah, no, I mean, we had people come from like so far away, like New Smyrna, Daytona, the Taco Shack. Shout out to you guys from New Smyrna Beach. Those guys brought me a t-shirt from the Taco Shack. People in the YouTube chat who I'd never actually see talking in the chat came. Yeah. This one guy, Cheeks, he was super cool. There had to be like 20, 30 people there, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, a lot of them came out to MegaCon and said that that you were comical. They got a kick out of how I love you drunk you were.
Yeah.
And they were not convinced that you were going to be able to make it to Runway to Hope because had so much tequila.
Yeah, that I don't normally drink tequila.
When Ryan drinks tequila, yeah. He gets really love ya.
But I got to tell you, Carlos, my heart had a little bit of, got a little warm. As I was sitting there, I think it was Sunday morning or whatever, I'm flipping through Instagram, at MegaCon real early or whatever, and I'm flipping through, and I see a picture of a big star. And in front of that big star are the boys.
Yeah!
And it's Carlos and Ryan. Oh, I'm sorry, Angel and Ryan.
Oh, my God.
It's Angel and Ryan.
I was like, where was that? Was I superimposed?
Yeah.
No, Angel and Ryan all in their suits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you guys look good, man.
Taking a photo. Sharp. Looking sharp as hell.
Angel and Ryan, well dressed for charity. It's fine. I mean, like, it's so
That's
funny.
That's the only way that happens, because it's a charity event.
It's these fancy, well-dressed people come up, and we Angel and I actually go to take that picture. It's really funny. We're standing there, and we're like, oh, we got to get somebody to take this photo, and all these fancy people are walking by, and we're like, it's weird to ask a fancy person, and Angel goes, excuse me, ma'am, can you help us just take a photo? And she goes, oh, you mean a booger beer? And this lady was just, like, dressed to the nine, and we just start laughing.
Oh, another woman that listens, huh?
Yeah, another woman that listens.
Surprise, surprise. Well, you both look. Now I got to tell you, Angel, you looked sharp.
Thank you.
That suit was on point.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun, and it was a really awesome event. And I was actually, it was it's a moving event, and it's a pretty neat thing to see the production level of that. And you come out of that with a different mindset.
When we come back from break, I want to explain it more in detail. Yeah, because it really is a great event, and I'm so glad you guys got to go. I also saw Savannah in her dress, and she looked beautiful. She looked great. But the booger beard thing. That was even at Runway to Hope.
Even at Runway, it was the best.
It was booger beer.
That was one of like five times that happened. It was very
You're
strange.
Welcome. How many times did it come up at MegaCon, Carlos?
All the time. It was just great. I mean, it's a fun thing to say.
I did everything to avoid a zany radio name.
No, but booger beard just right into it. Just stuck. It just sticks, you know.
Yeah, it's just funny. That's what gets yelled at me the most now of all the things.
But what? And so you have to kind of keep the beard, right?
I know. No,
right?
Well, yeah, and I cut the beard for Runway to Hope.
Yes, thankfully.
It was actually really nice.
You guys missed it. I don't know if you took a picture to emphasize this, but he did the one thing, too. He curled up the ends of the mustache.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what? It was the Danish competition for the best beard, and they had a guy that won the best beard. I think it was in Denmark. I think it was in the news this morning, and they gave away the secret. Do you know how they make their beards, you know, do like curly curls and wispy wisps or
wax,
whatever the hell they do? No. What they said was they asked them what the secret was, and they used Elmer's glue.
Oh, wow.
Oh, for competition?
Oh, yeah. I guess so, because it's water soluble. You could probably, yeah, that makes sense.
I can't figure out how to do that, man. I get the little wispy curly thing, and it lasts maybe 25 minutes, and then it'll start sinking down. And I've tried to hairspray it on my face.
Elmer's glue is the secret, and they did it in your home country of Denmark, and they had a bunch of people that had, did you see, have you found it?
No, I'm still looking for it.
If you look, a world beard competition or something, it was the Danish World Beard Competition, and they showed several of them this morning on NBC, and they said the secret is using Elmer's glue, which I thought, oh, we can do that with Ryan's beard.
That's probably a pain to get out, though.
And I thought to myself, man, we could design Ryan's beard ourselves. And for a brief second, I thought we could do the same to Angel. And I'm like, nope, nah. I don't think Angel would touch his beard.
Oh, Angel with a curly mustache would be awesome.
No. Angel said it the most respectful, yet hell no way. That ain't happening. That is ain't happening. All right, we're going to hear more about Runway to Hope. Also, your chance to win $1,000 is here. It's the keyword. Okay, what does that mean? They're going to give you a special word, okay? And I'm going to say, go get them. Well, after that, you text that keyword to 200-200, and you could win $1,000 today. Come on, I'm going to see some more. We've given away $16,000 so far. You have this week. You could be next, so keep giving it a shot. And we'll find out about what happened with Runway to Hope when we come back. You're listening to The Monsters of the Morning.
I like the way you love to dance. I like the way you put your hands.
$1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1 from
Real Radio. Real Radio.
Yeah, don't think you can't win. You really can. We've given it away $16,000 so far. It does drive the iHeart people crazy. The little old Orlando keeps giving away so much money when they've got bigger markets like New York and Los Angeles and Chicago. And nope, in Orlando is where they win. It's crazy. And we want you guys to be next. So good luck to you. Welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos and Ryan Holmes, all here today. So you guys got to do something that I've been very lucky to be able to be a part of for many years. I wasn't able to do it this year because I already was committed to being at MegaCon with Jeff Kaufman and Big City Comics. So I wasn't able to be a part of Runway to Hope this year. And I know, Carlos, you had something else that you had to do, so you weren't able to do it this year. But Angel and Ryan Holmes and Savannah, all three were like, you know, we'll do it. We'll be glad to. Now, Savannah had done it the past couple of years. And I know that Jeff Kaufman had a dress made for her so she could, look like a superhero.
He's amazing how he sews dresses. Yeah. I mean, he just has those
hands. Good at it, huh?
He's really good at it.
Great backstitching.
Yeah.
And Angel went and, he's lost a lot of weight here recently. So he went and got a new suit, which always does feel good.
Hell yeah.
You know, when you lose weight, to be fitted, you know, have it fit right and look good.
Carl Kanai.
And he looked great. And then Ryan Holmes, you actually look pretty good, too. Is that an old suit or a brand new suit or what?
It was not an old suit, but it's a suit I haven't been able to wear in a while because I slimmed down a little bit myself. Nothing major, but I put on a suit that looks new because I only wore it like two times before I got fat.
Did you put a girdle on to bring that Cambodian belly in?
I thought about man Spanx, but like I just kept the suit buttoned the whole time. And that's how you hide it.
So who wants to, Angel, you tell us your experience. This was your first time at Runway to Hope. I've been many times, so I'm curious of your interpretation of it.
First and foremost, it's probably the South's, or it's probably one of the premier fundraising events in Florida, in the state of Florida, probably in the Southeast, period, hands down.
Yeah.
Mark Nijay and his wife and the team that he has that puts this together, because when you think about it, it is – we get to see the back of the house stuff that they have to do as well. So it is a huge production.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I had been to that ballroom before when Meekum was here to do the auto auction, and I can say that this is on par with that in the sense of sheer scale of production of what they're doing.
Hey, did you notice, and one of the things that always I'm always taken aback by is, you know, Martin E. James, an attorney, a real successful attorney, a very wealthy successful attorney. He pays people to do a bunch of stuff. Did you see him backstage?
Yes. I got a hug from him.
I mean, walking, I'm talking to the kids, making sure everything. It's not like he's a millionaire that says, hey, please make me look good and do this event.
He sits at the front table and claps. You know, no, that's not him.
He participates. He's up front. And then he's also backstage with everybody. Like I said, I got a hug from him after we came off stage with my little dude. So there's that part of it. It's huge. Another part of it that's just. Like, you walk away, like I said, and I told you that this morning. I walked away from this event with a different mindset of trying to do whatever I can to help them with their charity.
And explain why.
And there's a part of the production and or part of the event where they, you know, they focus and they spotlight the kids that aren't there. You know,
they were there last year.
Because
this is for those that don't know,
Runway to Hope, pediatric cancer.
Pediatric cancer. And so you they give these kids the opportunity to dress up however they want to dress up and walk down this aisle and get applause. And it sounds silly. It sounds simple. It sounds like it's nothing. But for these kids, it means the world.
It does.
And you just don't realize. And so many years you'll go and you'll walk with a kid. And then unfortunately, cancer wins. And they don't make it back the next year. So they always have a video thing to show you. These are the kids. This is them walking last year. And unfortunately, they passed away this year. And it is heartbreaking.
Absolutely. And two things with that. And it's a point that EJ makes on stage. The reason that they do this, because cancer is, you know, so prevalent and there's so many different stages of it. One of the, you know, super focuses of this is the pediatric cancer is that the funds tend not to go to the kids because there's so many versions or so many adults that have it, right? So this is a very specific and narrow focus on fighting the battle of cancer, and it deals with kids. And that's why they do their event. They're focusing in on this one aspect of it, and it deals with the kids, all right? So that's why he does the event. The second part of it is this is the first one after Harris Rosen and his wife, their kid, and Adam. Adam Strong is the charity or the vein of this that they've taken with that.
And
his mom was present. She makes it a point to go up on stage and hands out an award. And if you don't come away after that video clip of him and the story and how they documented what happened to him, because the kid was, got to hang out with him.
Yeah, here's what happened. So a couple years ago, I'm at Runway to Hope doing the same thing you guys did. And you backstage, they kind of let you meet the child you're going to walk with. And we're standing in line waiting to go up on the stage, right? And as we're standing in line, there's a guy in front of me. And he turns around and says, hi, how you doing? I'm a big fan of the show. Adam, my name's Adam, Adam Rosen. I'm like, oh, man, nice to meet you. And he was like, God, I listened to this and that. And he's a super nice guy. Look at that, isn't that wonderful? So I found out that about 6 weeks after because he was just there walking with the kids, you know, helping out or whatever. 6 weeks after that, he was diagnosed with cancer. And then a year after that, he dies.
Yeah.
And Harris Rosen has, I mean, the funds, the ability, the money to do anything. And even with all the money in the world, you can't stop cancer.
His mom made it a point to mention that in the video montage that they're doing. And she talks about that. She's like, look, we're in a position of that, you know, I didn't have to quit my job. I didn't have to do those things. And we still had to deal with that. This is a reason why we do this charity, because there's families that this happens to them.
And they don't have that
and
money.
And a parent has to stop working to be able to take care of the kid. So there's aspects of their charity that they take, and one of them is to help you know, families pay bills and stuff when this happens to them, so they can, you know, be with their kid, right? So there's that part, and that's huge. And then that's part of the donation process. Meeting my little dude Benjamin, I got to meet him. I got to meet Milo. He's the little boy that was featured on Nancy Alvarez's clip on Friday.
Right.
His mom heard through listeners of the show that I had talked about it, so they called me back and I got to meet him and his mom and everything. So that was really cool. You come away with it just with a different mindset. And I try to live my life in the sense of a quarter mile at a time. Just joking. I try to live with just focusing on the moment, on what I can kind of control, and not like not focusing on things that I can't control, but enjoying the moment, trying to be in the moment, try to enjoy that.
Enjoy your best life today.
And, you know, like last week was the anniversary of my brother's passing, right? And so there was that element of it. And then going to this event, and it just, I walked away with that more than ever is like, enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
Like be, try to be cognizant, be there. Yeah, because we can get sidetracked with all this stuff. You get sidetracked with people talking trash. You get sidetracked with, you know, envious people, all these things.
Yeah, don't let them make you mad.
No, it's about right here, that moment, and enjoy that. Because if you don't enjoy that moment, you don't know if you're going to get a chance to be there again.
Yeah.
You know? And that was like, his mom, she was kind of reiterating that, and that's the main thing I took away from that.
It is one of those events, and when you tell someone about it, they're like, oh, I don't want to go somewhere where these kids have cancer. It's too depressing. But there's something that is fun about it, right?
It's heartwarming. Empowering, yeah.
You see how happy these kids are to walk that aisle. Hey, question, I just thought of it. We had a celebrity in here from the TV show Black-ish. I forget his name right now, but
Deon Cole.
And he did a little recording. Did you see it up on the screen?
Yeah, a lot of Monster Banner in the back of the video they did as the celebrities were going through. It seemed like every fifth one, it was the Monster Banners in the background.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. We do that for promotional purposes. I mean, it's the best place. Everybody's looking.
Yeah. The celebrity video, like at the start, was very cool. But they, man, it got me. Like they do an in memoriam.
Memorial.
Yeah, and of the kids who had done it before, and then have passed that have done it, and that's heart wrenching, man. It really is to sit there and watch it. And see the smiles on their face, and then it's like, oh, this. But still, we haven't fixed this problem.
And guess when people give the most money? Right after that video.
You know, man.
Yeah, it makes people give and donate and help them.
Yeah, I know.
Ryan, what was your thought process with this event? I tried to explain to you what to expect.
Yeah.
Was it what I explained to you, or was it better or worse? What did you think?
It's better than what you explained. I got to say thank you to Mark Nijam, who is working hard, like Angel said, in the back. And personally thanked me as I got off stage, like knew my name. Well, I don't know if that was just in his headset or what, but that felt really cool.
and a guy like that could easily pay a bunch of people to do it, put his name on it, and say, I'm Mark Nijam, that's my thing.
Right.
He actually does work. That impresses me. When I see someone like he does that, also Matt Morgan for that walk Walk for Wishes. Like, he really is. When those guys really are working it and it means something to them, it makes me want to help them even more, you know?
I gotta say, the only thing was my picture didn't have me with a big old beard on it, so this lady was trying to find me to bring me to the back.
This lady, so what they would do is they'd send out these handlers to get you from your table to come back to the back, right? This lady kept walking back our table back and forth. And she was staring, and I was like, we didn't steal anything, did we? Yeah. He's like, no. And then she finally walks up to the table. It's like, is there a Ryan Holmes here? And I was like, that's him.
Is there a booger beard here?
My shout out to the girl that I walked with. Her name was Sydney, and I don't know
how old was she.
She was 17.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm supposed to get all of the cards, but I got the cards of like their name and their hobbies, and then there's a second card that says exactly what's going on with them.
Yeah.
And it you read that and you go,
wow, yeah,
wow. But the girl, it was so cute because it was fun.
Do you know the reason why we?
It was fun to see these TV celebrities try to get paired up, and these kids would reject them. Was great. So this girl had options of other people, but then she saw that I was tall. She's a very tall girl.
Yeah.
And she's like, I want that dude right there.
She didn't know who you were.
Didn't know who I was.
I want a tall celebrity.
Which is totally fine.
She just didn't want to walk out with somebody, a short person.
Who on TV did she turn down?
I don't want to say names.
Oh, come on.
But
he can't help it. He's short. Who is it?
Let's just say I'm better than all of Spectrum News 13.
Oh.
And so it was really cool. And talking to her, I was like, hey, I'm actually nervous. I don't know what to do here. She's like, oh, I've done this before.
Okay.
And she's like, she was so cute. She was like, there's this thing called the Whoa. And it's like a dance, and she's like, "Will you do the well with me?" And
she wanted to get a pop. She wanted to get something. Yeah.
So my parents are like, "Freak out! It'll be awesome!" And I'm like, "Okay." So we walk out on stage.
What was the whoa? How's that go?
It's just this little. Like,
she asked you to dance.
I know.
Oh my god! Let's see it.
It's just this. It's just this move right here.
That's it.
That's all it is. So a very easy dance move, and so we get out there and we stand on the gold dot. And the second we walk out there, man. the smiles and the hands coming out. They treat these like people just like celebrities.
Kids are superstars. They're
literal superstars. And later I found out it was all her nurses and stuff were right up front,
aww,
like shouting out, and she's so happy and just giving high fives and like
it is
doing
a brilliant event.
It's so beautiful and so amazing.
It's so simple. Yeah. Just walk out on a runway and get applause. But the kids love it so much. Was Joey Fatone there?
Yeah, Joey was there.
Did he give you a shout out? Say hi. Did he introduce you guys?
He introduced us. And it's funny because when we walk up on stage, they're like, so you sit on the circle and you wait for them to say your name, and then you start walking. So walk out, and Joey's like, "What's up?" And he's like, and he gives me the nod to start walking. I'm like, "I'm waiting to hear you say my name." He's like, yeah. "Walk." So then you start walking, and then you hear,
your name. Yeah. Savannah looked beautiful.
She was awesome. She crushed it.
Yeah. And she walked out, and I saw this just by seeing her Facebook. She walked out with her kid, and what's his name? Aiden.
Yeah.
And Aiden takes
a little rock star.
He takes his jacket off and it's like you're like pumping up and people were going crazy. That was really, really cool. But that's good, man. I'm so glad you guys had a good experience. It is is this something you'd want to do next year?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And then there's the little funny things that happen now, you know, away from that. Like the fact that at our table we're like trying to figure out who the celebrities are. We got Isbeth Broussal from the local, Spectrum. All of that crew.
Yeah.
We sat at their table with them, and so that was awesome.
How awesome was the food?
The food was amazing. And it's just, you start measuring your level of celebrity, right? You start looking so they're sitting way up row one.
Yeah.
We're back here at row whatever, looking around. So who compares with us? I was like, all right, cool. We're as good as Nick Anderson because he was sitting right next to us.
Oh, yeah, Nick Anderson.
That's because of those missed free throws. I'm sorry.
I'm going to find out what other celebrities were there and anything else you guys want to wrap up with that. We'll take a little break and we're wrapping up Runway to Hope, which is a great fundraising event. If you can, you know,
go visit their website, check out the video, and if you can, donate.
Because that's
the other thing. The other part of that is that money stays here local.
Yes.
You know, there's pieces of equipment that no one else in the nation has them except here in Orlando when it comes with kids with cancer. So that's a neat thing.
All right. We'll find out what other celebrities were there. And also, in a minute or two, we'll do the six things you knew we talk about. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. Angel, talking to Ryan during the break about, coming up with a T-shirt. Because a lot of women are like, we're women and we do listen. Well, management tells us women don't listen. So to do like a T-shirt, I don't know if you do it sarcastically, like women don't listen to the Monsters, or if you're straightforward.
I like real women listen to real radio.
Ooh, real women listen to real radio.
I like that.
That's from the YouTube.
This bitch listens to the Monsters?
No, not 2019.
Oh, God. Sorry. Welcome back to the Monsters. Mornings over Radio 104.1.
He's so pumped. I'm so sad.
It's a cool T-shirt only for women to prove that women do listen. I think that would be awesome. Anyway, let's work on that. Put that in the pipeline.
All right. It's in the hopper.
Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins along with Carlos and Angel and Ryan. So kind of wrapping up what happened with them at Runway to Hope. So I know there were some celebrities there, right?
I'm going to tell you one of my coolest moments, right? So right. I like, teasing with Nick Anderson and be like, oh, you're still working on them free throws?
you really said something to him?
No. What's awesome about Nick is that he knows who we are. He's just not sure. So, we did the head nod and he puts out his hand. He's like, real radio, right? He's like, yeah, man. He's like, okay, I've been there before, that kind of thing. So I had a chance to meet him. But for me, the real cool moment, Sorrels is there. This is after we've walked.
That's Tom Sorrels from Local 6.
Yeah,
yes.
So this is after we've walked the kids around the stage, and then we walk them back, and so we're heading out back to the general public area, right? And so Sorrels is in front of me about 10 paces.
By the way, we love Tom Sorrels.
Yeah, so Tom's like, Angel. I was like, what's up, man? And he's walking with this other gentleman. They walk a couple more paces, and he stops, and he's talking to Sorrels. He's like, wait. That's Angel from the Monsters? And he's like, yeah. And he turns around and comes up, Angel, I'm a huge fan. I'm like,
who?
Dude, I love you. And it's Ellis from the Christian station.
Oh,
of the
Ellis B. Feaster.
Oh, my God.
Angel,
I've been listening. Like you've said, he's been listening to the Monsters forever. So he's a huge fan of real radio.
We were dirty.
But he's like, man, you on the show and your addition. And like he put his arms on my shoulders and was like holding me like this. And I was like, oh, you're the best. And
yeah,
I gave
he's
him
a
like,
sweet man.
Oh my gosh.
Have you met him before, Carlos?
Oh yeah, several times.
LSB Feaster is one of those guys, radio guys, that he never did that whole, hey, we're in radio, so we have to hate each other thing. He, I mean,
genuine,
from
nice.
Years ago, he used to, he was on a country station. It was the B, I think it was called the B, and he was LSB Feaster, and he got hold of me long time ago, and every time I go to an event and see him, he's like, a big hug, I love the show, man, and such a nice guy.
Yeah, I was talking to him, and he personally said, like, hey, tell Russ, I haven't seen Russ in forever, tell Russ I said hello, so.
He is awesome.
He was a really nice dude. But it was so funny to see, like, real celebrities get shut down at the door to get out onto the runway.
What do you mean?
Well, because, okay, so... The call system was a little bit wonky. In a big event, there's going to be a little few mishaps. So we got called too early, Angel and I. So we go all the way up there, and we're like, oh, well, I think we're going to get big timed here, and like they're just sending us back. Well, then they had such a schedule that like up next comes old Pat Williams.
Oh, Pat Williams.
So Pat Williams is in front of us.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, he's a real celebrity.
Right, real celebrity. Millionaire guy. Public speaker.
If it weren't for him, we would not have the Orlando Magic.
We would not have the Orlando Magic. Pat Williams also turned away because it wasn't his time, too. So it made me feel so much less bad about what happened to us.
And in that time, he wrote another book.
He did. He's going to have a power through.
And he adopted five more kids. Yeah. That's amazing.
And that room where the kids were, man, they had like arcades, video games set up, a skee ball, a virtual reality thing.
Was that one really big child there playing with all the kids?
There was one very big child in a Captain America dress. Loud, just having a great time. Savannah was there in the kids' room the whole time.
The cool part was that hookah lounge they had for them was really, I mean,
kids,
you know.
Kids love Savannah. Savannah's like a Pied Piper for children. They love
100%.
Her. They absolutely love Savannah.
There was the other part that was funny. In that back room, so all the superheroes are there. All of them, right? And, they're all there. They're all represented.
You had Batman, Captain America.
You had Deadpool. You had the Star Wars and everything. And then the one time, like, look, if you're wearing a superhero outfit, you've got to own it. And you can't do this in front of, in particular, at this moment when Ryan and I are there, because we're fanning out. And so we want to take a picture with this certain superhero. And he totally flips it. He's like, oh, my gosh, you guys are so tall. Da, da, da. Captain America, if you're rocking a Captain America costume, you got to own that.
Yeah, you're right. You got to act like Captain America.
So we big-time Captain America.
Yeah, we definitely big-time him. And I also learned a fun fact about Savannah and more of like things that freak her out. So I learned it's palmetto bugs. Yeah. And then also...
Lights at Costco.
Lights at Costco.
Lights at Costco freak her out.
And people in stormtrooper costumes.
Stormtroopers.
Why?
She was so... like, couldn't stand next to them. She was like weirded out by the stormtrooper costume.
And then Ryan asked her, like, why would you? And she's like, they kill people. It's like, it's a costume.
Like, so do gators and crocodiles.
Yeah.
She really thought that these guys were from the Empire. They had just buzzed in. Like, she was really super awkward around the stormtroopers.
Oh, that's funny.
It's very strange to see. But even... just every other radio person was really cool. Also, shout out to Ray from XL. She saw me, and she was just like...
Oh, she's very nice.
And, of course, it's Booger Beard. and she's like, you're a great addition to the show. It's so nice to meet you, blah, blah. And then, like, the chief of the UCF police, fan of the show, hanging out. It's wonderful, wonderful event, man.
Good. Yeah, Satan.
All right, so you know how he's been trying to start a radio war with
with Leslie Gale.
She will
jack you up, dude.
Oh. Somebody down the hall. All right, so
do not mess with Leslie Gale.
So Chad Pitt walks around our table, and so we say, what's up to Chad and everything. And I was like, that's Chad. He's the guy that hosts the morning show. Yeah. And at this point, that's the only few radio people we had seen from our building, right?
Right.
We hadn't run into anyone from XL yet or anything. So then I make the comment, man, it would be funny if Leslie Gale just rolled up on you right now, right? And just throwing that out there, hadn't seen her.
Because she's always there with her husband.
Absolutely. So... like clockwork. Like it was just destined to happen.
Appeared out of a cloud of smoke.
And we're sitting at our table. They're doing it. And out of nowhere, here she comes walking down.
Leslie Gale.
And so she doesn't see him. She only sees me. She's like, Angel, what's up? I was like, hey, Leslie, how are you? Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. Big hug, a kiss. It's great to see you. It's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I want you to meet somebody. And she's like, okay.
Oh.
I was like,
now Angel doesn't do, oh, I want you to meet somebody. He goes, hey, over here. this is somebody I'd like you to meet, like in the meanest way possible.
That's the way I'd have done it.
Because, oh, buddy.
And so Leslie Gale sees you for the first time after you tried to start a radio war with her.
Yep.
And oh, she got serious for a quick, quick second. She's like,
what'd she say?
She's like, oh, so you want to start a radio war with me? Do you know that I am the longest tenured employee here in 20 years and haven't won the Employee of the Year contest yet? Do you know this? Like, she started running the resume down, and I was like, whoa, this guy's serious, like, real quick.
Yeah, it was like a switch flip, and then she leaned over and whispered in my ear, I will cut you. And I was like,
she will. Yeah. You don't want to mess with Leslie.
No, you do not. Like, she has that mode where I'm like, okay, this is not someone you mess with.
I tried to tell you.
But then it was all hugs and kisses.
Good.
It was fun.
Hey, Carlos, you got to do some cool stuff on, I don't know if it was Friday or Saturday. You went to a new ride that is out at the...
I went on the Frozen ride.
Yeah.
I hadn't been on it. And let me tell you, I really enjoyed that a lot more than I thought I was going to enjoy it.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Where is it?
It's in Epcot.
In Epcot.
Yeah, except that where Norway ride was.
Yep. They took over the old Norway ride.
I love that ride.
But you know what is perfect fit? Perfect fit.
I mean,
Frozen, I think, what's the name? Avondale? I forgot the name of the actual Frozen city or whatever. You know, it's not Norway, but... Man,
I always want to call it Auburndale.
Yeah, Auburndale. Yeah.
It's not Auburndale. They made it the Frozen ride, and that's Norway. So they took the entire country out, or is it part of Norway?
The country's still there, sort of.
Frozen is kind of like a Nordic. It's even when they talk like this and one of the characters, so it totally fits it. Yeah, but it was got on there a couple times, and the animatronics that they have on that with the faces that they have, it was the technology I'd never seen before. And I was fully blown away by it. I was even singing the song all the way through. And people on the boat thought I was weird, but
is that the Let It Go song?
Let it go, let it go. And the weird thing was, and Angel having a kid, Rush, you have a kid, and one day hopefully you'll have kids, Ryan, is my daughter loved that movie as 3, 4, 5. She's 8 now, right? And so she's on it, and she's like, oh, this is cool. And she enjoyed it, but to me, I enjoyed it even more because it connected me to, like, we heard the song a million times.
When you were a little kid.
When you were a little kid, and I was like, Dad. She's like, Dad, I don't really remember that. I'm like, it was like that long ago. and it is, it's pretty amazing ride. And we have some fast passes for it. So every ride is better when you have a fast pass.
Yeah. Every ride is better if you don't have to wait in line for it. Yeah.
When you don't have to wait in line, it makes it that much better. But just blown away by the technology. And look, they had to revamp this whole ride and take everybody knew the part of Nordic and the Norway ride. You'd go backwards, and that's the time you sing the song. And oh my God, those Brazilians in that boat were looking at me going like,
"I forgot about the Norway." The Norway ride is in a boat, right?
Yeah.
Then you kind of go through Norway, and then you went and it had a little. Dip, but not
all
a big
that's
one.
Still there. All the tracking is there,
okay.
But
they just changed it.
But they totally redid it, and it'd been. Yeah, I think it's been over a couple years, and I kind of pride myself on going and checking out these rides. I still haven't gone on the Pandora Flight of the whatever drive.
Yeah, good luck trying to get in that ride.
Yeah. Luckily, I got a buddy of mine who's got a pretty good hookup, and so I'm going to try and go on that soon. But I just had a wonderful day walking around the several cities of Epcot. And why haven't they done this yet? Why haven't they revamped one of those places, one of those countries, and turned it into Brazil? Because Brazil, you know what I'm saying? Like, give Brazil props.
Brazil would be fun.
I mean, it'd be fun. I mean, I am mad at Africa, right? But I think we could, there's no ride in Africa. The only thing there is those drums that when you get drunk, you go by and you hit them. You're like, look at me, I'm drumming.
Is there even a drink for Africa? Because the only reason I go to Epcot is drinking around the world. So is there a drink in Africa?
There's a beer but one beer. So there's nothing like major. I love Africa. You could probably put it in different areas.
What would be the drink for Brazil? Would it be like rum?
Cachaça.
Caparinha.
Caparinha.
And I mean, Brazilians have kept up this Orlando economy for years. Yeah. I love Brazilians. We can make... Hey, Epcot, are you listening? Make one of those countries, Brazil.
When I think of Brazil, I think of... they have big parties.
Carnival.
Oh, my God.
I mean, exactly.
See, but that would be the thing, though, all right? So, like, if you're from Brazil... Are you coming to Orlando to see Brazil?
Dude, yes. We ate in China. We ate in one of the restaurants in China.
No, but
a bunch of Chinese people around, really yeah. enjoying it. Like I know what you're saying.
I'm just curious because, like, in Orlando or from Orlando, we go to this to see experience all these other cultures.
Yeah. Right.
How many Brazilians would go to Brazil from Brazil see, would go to no, the Brazilian?
I think Angel, if I went, let's say I went over to France, okay, and to the French Disney, and they had
the American
Epcot,
Pavilion,
and there's American Pavilion. I'd want to go because it'd be like, oh yeah,
when we, but you're gonna be going there trying to see how authentic it American
is.
It is.
And man, Disney knows how to do it. It's as authentic as possible. And I mean, I remember we were in Mexico and there was a bunch of Mexican people walking up and taking the picture in front of the stairs like, man, and I could hear their accents. I knew they were Mexican. And Epcot, great place to go, man. Right in our backyard. And
I like Epcot.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know.
And we did. I don't drink anymore, so I did Snacks Around the World. And
I never thought of that.
Oh, dude, and Test Track. I haven't been on that in a minute. Angel, when's the last time you went on Test Track?
Ah, man, I've been to Epcot in a while.
My God, they redid it so it's like a Tron ride.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. I mean, it looks, before it was kind of like old school, like, this is how we make our seats, and they throw sand on it or something like that. This was so cool. You redesigned the whole car. And I felt like, my God, this is it. This is what it's going to feel like when the robot's autonomy AI takes over. We're going 69 miles per hour on that track. I'm screaming. I'm like, 69. Woo! Robots are here! It was a great time. You can see some of my screen. Streaming videos at To The Top, Carlos. Had a wonderful time. Took my daughter and my wife and a friend of hers. It was her birthday. And we just had a great time.
All right. When we come back, it's time for the six things you knew we'd talk about. Six stories from over the weekend. You knew we'd bring it up. You knew we'd talk about it. Now, listen, don't call up and guess MegaCon because we've already, you know, we've blown that one out. Don't guess Runway to Hope because we already talked about that. So there are six other stories. If you get it right, we'll give you a prize from the prize pinata. All right. You're listening to The Monsters of the Morning.
Sports. Soccer. Orlando City welcomes LA Galaxy this Friday, May 24th. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9 The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio.
From the... Good luck, everybody. I'd love to see somebody in our audience win $1,000 today. Listen for the keyword and text it to 200-200 and you could win. Welcome back to the Monsters Mornings, Rip Radio 104.1. We're a little behind here as far as my... I make out this little sheet, like, okay, this is what I think we're going to do at this particular time. A little behind, but that's okay. I had a fun morning catching up with everybody and finding out what everyone did over the weekend. Now we're going to do the six things you knew we talk about, six stories from over the weekend. You saw it, and you're like, I bet you Russ brings that up. Well, if you're right, then we'll give you a prize from the prize pinata. Hey, Chris, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, how you doing, Russ? Good morning, Monsters.
Good morning, buddy. What up, man?
Is it your boy Tim Tebow hitting his first home run in Triple A baseball?
Oh, did he? I did not
he
see
did.
It.
Yeah,
he hasn't. He has not had a good season so far.
Has he not been
horrible? Yeah, it's been. They said it's been really bad. So this is his first home run. He finally got one. Yeah, I did not see that story. All I've seen so far about Tim Tebow is that he's not had a good, you know, since they've been back.
Look, as long as this in AAA, all right, and he's been doing this for two seasons now.
Yeah.
It's the first career home run in AAA ball. And he should be smashing these balls.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons why he was, because of his, you know, he's a physical specimen.
Right. Yeah.
But what's really cool is how his teammates
that's
did.
That's how that, yeah. Cool.
So after he hits the home run, he goes, you know, the guy that's on the batting circle gives him a high five. And then he goes into the dugout, and nobody says anything.
Yeah, they don't react.
No one does anything. That you know, everyone's just playing it cool.
Yeah.
And then over the PA, the guy makes them mention about it being his first career home run, and then all the teammates jump in and they give him the high five.
Yeah, it's kind of a baseball thing to
it's
do.
They were goofing.
It's kind of the thing that they do. Those guys.
But it's a cool, cool moment though. Yeah. I'll give him props for that. Absolutely.
That is funny. All right, 407-916-1041 or toll free. It's 1-888-978-1041. Daniel, you're on Real Radio. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Good.
I was going to guess Arnold Schwarzenegger getting drop kicked.
Yes, that is one of the things. That's crazy. Let me put you on hold. We'll give you whatever a prize from the prize pinata.
And did you see the whole thing, dude?
Yeah, I'm asking. Did you guys see the whole video clip?
Because
it's funny.
I saw both angles.
I only saw one angle.
Okay, one looked terrific. The one, the close-up selfie, and then you see the guy in the back jumping and kicking him. That looked like... Arnold was taken down. There was a big hubbub. And then the one from the back where you see the guy run up and kick him,
I mean, that's the Terminator, right? He kicked this guy with all his might, ran across a gymnasium,
yeah,
and did a Hayukin, you know, Liu Kang kick, and barely budged the Terminator.
Like, didn't even move him.
You know what's funny is in wrestling days, way back in the wrestling days, you know, the flying drop kick, oh my God, nobody can survive it. nobody can survive the flying drop kick. But
physics-wise, it's not a really good move. You don't actually put a lot of force into a full drop kick. Yeah, I looked at this whole breakdown of like how a drop kick actually works, and it's not a great move.
I hate to tell you, it's not really a great move, huh?
Well, no, it's not. But like, but that first angle, that's the first one I saw, and it was like 71-year-old Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's 71.
Wow.
And you see that angle, and you're like, oh wow, he just really got knocked down. Oh my God. And then you see that other angle, and you're like, yo, we barely felt that.
Yeah. You know what I thought was awesome? His Arnold Schwarzenegger's response, and it was, I'm not pressing charges, and let's, you know, don't make it about this. Let's make it about the athletes that are here that I'm here to support. I thought that was a
because he's on a run right now, and he's doing the sports activity thing to emphasize, you know, being athletic and doing sports and doing all this. And he's got a charity organization that he's out there with, and that's like you said, he doesn't want this thing to take away from the bigger good that he's doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like and he even put it on Instagram. He goes, "Everybody, I'm okay. It's fine. And in fact, I just thought I was being jostled a little bit, but it was fine. The mad thing I'm mad about is it messed up my Snapchat video."
But Arnold, why do you think the kid dropkicked you?
Ah, you know, people want to take down the Terminator. They want to be a kindergarten cop, you know. They want to be my twin. And different people do different things. It's very funny. I thought it was quite comical.
It's for the gram, man.
For Instagram.
Even on a global level, it's for the gram. If this
they were in Africa, right?
Yeah, it's South Africa. Even on a global level, if you're the guy that knocks over Arnold, then they're like, oh, well, who's this guy? What's his Instagram? No.
It was a rapper. South African rapper guy, and he was trying to make a name for himself. So as he's getting carried out, he starts shouting, "I'm a rapper. This is my rap name. Give me a Lamborghini. I want to eat a Lamborghini. Give me a Lamborghini."
Wow. Yeah.
But that's for the gram.
That's for the gram.
Yeah. But I got to tell you, lucky that Arnold Schwarzenegger is who he is, because you dropkick another 71-year-old man, it could kill him.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God. Most 71-year-olds.
There was a guy just last week with this freaking woman. There's an old man. I think he was in his 70s, 72, 73. And she pushes him off the bus.
Oh, that's so sad.
Killed him.
And it killed him. Yeah. She was yelling at everybody on the bus. And this is an old guy. And he says, "Hey, calm down," or something.
He's like, "You should be nicer to people."
You should be nicer to people. That's all he said. You should be nicer to people. They open the door for the bus. And she kicks him out. And down the stairs. Face plants.
My God.
And ends up killing him.
Yeah.
My God.
And it took a month for him to die.
Yeah.
That's the even more sad part of that is he fell onto his face.
Yeah.
And because of the complication of his injuries, like he couldn't eat.
Yeah.
And he couldn't like really walk anymore. And it took a month for him to die. And they ruled it as a homicide.
Yeah, they better be charging it a homicide.
Oh, they're charging with murder.
So somebody recognized her in the video of this bus dash cam, which the video is horrific.
Where was this? Here in the United States?
Yes.
Yeah. It was a story last week. And once again, it was one of those stories I saw. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. It's too depressing. But as far as pushing an older person, luckily, Arnold's still in good shape. You know, and it didn't knock him over.
Yeah, man. He said he thought he got bumped.
Yeah,
somebody bumped him.
Everybody wants to be next to the Arnold.
It was funny to see that, like, he has other super jacked dudes with him. And for 71, this guy's huge.
Did you see his security
guy? Yeah,
just slams him on the ground.
But that just goes to show. I mean, it takes 1 second.
Yeah.
You know, you could have security. You could be the Terminator. And there's moments that you got to keep your head on a swivel. I mean, he was literally signing autographs. That was the cheapest shots. But I'm glad he's okay, man. This book I'm reading, Tools of Titans, he has the foreword in it, and he's part of the interview. And it is super impressive. Wait a minute.
You don't like him. He's a Republican. You're not open-minded enough to appreciate anyone who's a Republican,
exactly.
Carlos.
I've never, ever done that in my whole life. No.
You hate white people.
Yeah, exactly, even though I'm white.
and married to a white lady.
Right. I'm very impressed by him, and if you want to see a great thing, look for his commencement speech. I forgot where it was at, but he gave a great commencement speech recently that is very uplifting.
Look, man, yeah. I know he's had some controversial stuff happen. You know, he has digressed in his relationships before, but other than that, think about what the guy did coming from Austria.
Yep.
And deciding, hey, look, I'm going to be a Mr. Universe. Okay, now I'm going to be a movie star. Okay, now I'm going to be a governor. Okay, yeah, I mean, you talk about a guy that's done a lot, man.
Yeah, but it's only because he's on the radio.
Right. And he talked about it. He goes, I would work out, 10 hours a day, and then I would go do construction, and then after construction, I would go to my acting class from 8 to 12 o'clock at night, and then I would wake up again. When I came to this country, I had nothing. I had bodybuilders come and bring me cots and futons and pots and pans, and that is why I have to be nice to people.
Yeah.
He's an amazing guy, man.
407-916-1041. Anna, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Anna?
Thanks to tell you, I'm doing fantastic.
Ah, nice, Anna. That's a good start to this call, I got to tell you.
So, Anna, what'd you call about?
So, what's up, girl? What's going on? Your guess?
Spill that tea, girl.
Six things you talk about? Game of Thrones.
There you go.
There you go. One of the six things you knew we talk about. Of course, Game of Thrones. Let me put you on hold.
My God.
All right. So
I'm dying to talk about this.
Now, are we going to, is the no spoiler rule in effect? Like, what is it?
I mean, I will tell you this, and I was going to wait till you guys brought it up, because I just watched the network news or the big companies, and they're even doing something pretty neat. They're like, look, yes, Game of Thrones is a story. This is a clip from that, and that's all we're going to talk about.
Oh, no spoiler.
Yeah. Well, and they just did that. I was like, wow, that's impressive.
You know what's impressive, though? This impressed me, and I told Carlos this morning. Okay, so they're estimating 18 million people watched it last night. That's pretty good. That's a lot of people. But also, it was the anniversary of the final episode of Cheers. I know you know because I told you. Angel, how many people do you think watched the final episode of Cheers? If 18 million saw Game of Thrones last night, Cheers, what do you think?
That's a different world, so there's probably double or triple that number.
What do you think, Ryan Holmes?
For Cheers?
For Cheers, the final episode.
65 million.
93 million people. No! This is a drop in the bucket. It's a very small, if you think about it, in a grand scale of things, even though on television you're seeing that it was a big deal, it's a much smaller group of people than what saw Cheers.
I agree. But I do wonder what is the, like, if you were to, there's more people in the world, there's more platforms, there's more... You know, a real comparison. But obviously, there was only network TV then. And the spoiler thing annoys... I almost said the S word.
Yeah.
Because, like, at the end of Cheers, at the end of Friends, at the end of Seinfeld...
We all talked about it.
And it was on the news. And it was everywhere. And if you caught... Oh, well, you... And because guess what? If you missed it... You missed it.
But think about this, though. The numbers, 93 million people saw it. So everyone had seen it, so it was okay to talk about it. There are a lot less people that saw, Game of Thrones last night, and they're going to continue to try to watch this week. So maybe.
But if we tell people, hey, look, we're going to talk. Well, I know, but you didn't watch it, and I know, Ryan, you watched it. Obviously, yep. Andrew, you hadn't been into it, but I'm sure you're just checking Twitter and everything. You probably could.
I know a bunch of names and things about stuff that I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Well, I did not watch it last night. I decided just to go to bed and see it today. But it doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't blow it for me. I already saw on Twitter what happened. I still got to see how it happened.
I tell you this, Angel, I ended up going to Harry Buffalo with a friend, and shout out to Reese and everybody at Harry Buffalo. What an awesome place to watch it. It was like I was watching Game 7 of the finals with a bunch of people that were into it, like-minded people, and the setup was great, the food was great, and I'm so glad that I watched there, because normally I watch it in like the quiet at my house, and every now and then I'll scream, and it's I tend to fall asleep at the house.
Was it distracting to watch it with a bunch of people?
There was one kind of douchey guy that I was just like, and of course he was wearing sandals. Like,
of course,
he was like, I was like, of course you'd be wearing sandals,
a beard and sandals,
and a beard, sandals, tank top, fat ass belly.
Yeah.
and I was like, dude, how many of you are there? Is there a factory where they just create you?
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, man. I mean, are we gonna? Do you want to?
Well, I was gonna ask you.
What do you want to do?
I mean, do we have to say spoiler or what? Like, what's the deal here?
If you're, look, we're at the end of this.
Right.
So it's up to you guys, but if you're going to talk about it next time, right. Just give everyone a heads up.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask people in the text. You're listening to us right now.
I would like to go into it, Russ.
Okay, so do you want us to, yes, if you want us to talk about it. No, if you're worried about spoilers. So you can text us at 77031. That's 77031. Yes, if you want us to talk about Game of Thrones, spoilers and all, or no, if you're really anti, okay? All right, so let me know, and we'll figure that out. When we come back, your chance to win $1,000 is here. Listen for the keyword. Text it to 200-200. Thank you for listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
$1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1 from Real Radio. Real Radio.
Scheduled to be on the show tomorrow. My favorite rock star of all time, Paul Stanley of Kiss, scheduled to be on the show tomorrow. Man. They're excited. He's promoting a new book, but he's going to call us tomorrow. We should put out one of those push notifications.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Paul Stanley calling tomorrow on the show. Also, able to announce that Monster Ween coming back. We're going to have Monster Ween October 27th at Hard Rock Live. And the headline will be Ace Frehley from Kiss. So get your tickets now at Hard Rock Live. I want to thank LT and Hard Rock Live for working with us on that one and putting this together so we can have Ace Frehley at Monster Ween this year, which is pretty daggone cool. You talk about a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, of course, you guys know I'm a big Kiss fan. A lot of people are. And to have Ace Frehley there is cool. And then to be able to talk to Paul Stanley tomorrow is awesome as well. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins along with Angel and Carlos and Ryan. So, Carlos, you were out the room.
Yeah,
what do you
no
think,
clue.
What do you think happened? So we asked the listeners, okay, all this world, you know, now spoilers is a big deal. This is something that we never had to deal with before. But, you know, back when Cheers had their final show, there was 93 million people watching it. Everybody just kind of talked about everything the next day. Different world now, and people get really mad about spoilers. I mean, fist fighting mad about spoilers. So we asked the audience, do you want us to talk about last night's? And this is like, you know, world news. This is the
no doubt.
The end of a television show that was groundbreaking.
No doubt about it.
So do you talk about it the day after, or do you have to wait sometime because of spoilers? We asked the listeners, yes, if you want us to go ahead and talk about it. No, if we should keep our traps shut. What do you think?
I'm probably thinking they said no.
Incorrect. Overwhelmingly.
Yes!
Overwhelmingly. Everyone
overwhelmingly.
Said,
like
yes.
Going away. Like,
I mean,
not
like,
even close.
Like only like one guy here. No, Amazon Prime HBO can't see it until today.
Why you got to
well,
do that voice?
That's sounds like a whiny crybaby.
Oh,
that's why.
Oh, Amazon Prime. Because I was about to say, I watched it on HBO last night.
Well, see, I have it on Amazon Prime, so I would have to wait today. But I'd wait anyway because it was too late for me. But yeah, I'm looking down and it's, now all the no's just came in, Angel. But before that,
yes,
no, but you guys asked before, look, you asked before the break, and you said you would take the advice over the break. If you go out of the last 500 text messages that have come in,
Then you just go down.
Yeah, the no's are all coming in
now. I'm glad to hear that because it's just like a good movie. Just like anything after work, you like that 10-minute conversation after the movie, after the show, to chat about your feelings. And especially because there's so many people that don't want to talk about it, that if I'm listening to my favorite show, I want to hear what the people have to say on the show, you know? So
if it's going to break your heart to hear us talk about Game of Thrones, flip to another channel where they're not talking about it, okay? Because now we're going to talk about it.
You have us 12 minutes.
You have us 12 minutes.
And then come back.
Last night, groundbreaking, the end of a 10-year, 8-season era. I mean, really, really big deal. And I did not watch it, but I did go on Twitter this morning, and I already know what I kind of know what happened. I don't know how it happened, but you saw it with a group of people,
yes.
And then Ryan Holmes. Admittedly, you're probably the biggest Game of Thrones fan here. Where did you watch it?
I was gonna go to Harry Buffalo, but some stuff came up, and so I watched it at home. Which I wish I would have saw it live with the big moment that happened. I'm sure like the place went nuts.
Yeah.
Did they go crazy or is it like a calm?
Well, okay. So the moment you're talking about is when Jon Snow took out Daenerys.
No!
Yeah, man. And
you blew it for me. I can't watch it. You son of a bitch. That was one of the scenarios we thought that's one of the ways it could have ended.
Oh yeah. Definitely the twist was how they selected the new king, how they went with that. But no, at first it was not a big reaction because you kind of didn't know what happened. You know, they had this big embrace, and leading up to that, man. Okay, so you know you had Khaleesi's, and.
That's the Queen of Dragons.
The Queen of Dragons. And we hadn't seen how she felt about basically massacring and destroying a city the size of New York City, you know?
Yeah.
And so we were wondering, was there going to be any remorse? Was there going to be, you know, a good reaction in the sense of why she did that? Well, the beautiful visual imagery that the Game of Thrones creators were able to do, they brought her in. And, I mean, if there wasn't a more Hitler-esque kind of view of it. And then not only that, as she walked to the beginning of a crowd, the dragon in the background behind her, almost as if she was a demon. It was visually just amazing.
Perfect.
And she comes out and she gives the speech basically saying to everybody like, oh, we just getting started.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It wasn't, you know.
She became evil.
You know what? Here is the thing. I think the entire time, I'm going to go back.
Very Thanos-esque.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think they probably drew a lot from Thanos because that is a perfect anti-hero, villain, whatever, that you go and you go, I'm kind of seeing what they're talking about. And so with Khaleesi's, you could see, oh, she liked this. This was good, and it was all about the Iron Throne. All about the Iron Throne. Well, she got the Iron Throne.
Well, so I thought the Iron Throne was in the rubble. It was.
It was in the rubble.
Oh.
And so when they go in the back to go for her to finally get to this chair, this seat that she has killed thousands for, that she has killed her, you know, family members for, that she has just gone out of her mind, and she's just about to sit on it.
Yeah.
Who walks in?
Who?
Jon Snow.
Ah.
And the entire time leading up to that,
she still loves him.
Of course.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Of course.
The love of her life.
And as he walks in, they embrace.
Yeah.
And Jon Snow had been talking with Tyrion and basically saying, no, she's the queen.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of how I feel, she is my true queen.
Yeah.
And I really believe that. I think Jon Snow really felt that is her true queen. Was it her true love? No, it wasn't. Who was his true love, Ryan Holmes?
The wildling
exactly
girl.
Exactly right.
Which one? Who's the wildling?
The one that he really fell in love with when he united the wildlings in seasons past and they killed him.
Ygritte.
Yeah.
Ygritte? Yeah. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, that. Oh, yeah.
And so this whole time you're going, my God. And you can see if they wanted to unite, they would take over the world. It would be their world.
Yeah.
If they really wanted to unite, there was.
They could be king and queen.
King and queen, easy. That's what the whole world. That and the whole story was like, look, you'll like this because a lot about love. Really cool quotes about love and how it is how it can make you go crazy and it can make you work really hard and then in a warm embrace where it looks like wow this if they would have ended the show them kissing right there boom it would be like my God I, you know but he does what he was supposed to do and what is Jon Snow's job Ryan what was his whole life's mission as the Night's Watch
to protect the realms of men
And his final job was to take out what would have been the destroyer of all lands.
Whether he loved her or not. Yeah.
And he goes.
Because her version of freeing people throughout the world is destroying people who don't believe in her.
Exactly right. And we have seen it
like
all along. Yeah. All along. And I think if you go back and watch it, she never made this turn a hard turn. I think just like all of us, he was speaking to John about love, and we fell in love with this character, and we just wanted to see the goodness in her. So we were willing to look away at all the stuff. And then finally, when it's unable to look away, you're like, my God, she's been this monster the whole time.
Right.
But we were just trying
to see
her. She
talks about burning cities
a lot.
Whole series. Like,
yes.
From like, day one. So.
So you don't look like you were as excited as Carlos is about the end of the game. Here he goes. Booger beer.
I hate to tell you. Go for it, because we actually have not talked about it, because I wanted to keep it fresh on here.
Yeah.
Because, and I'll finish this.
Okay.
To me, Russ, it is probably the most perfect ending I've ever seen on a TV show.
Even better than Sopranos.
Way better, because Sopranos was open-ended. If you look at the overarching narrative of this show, it was to create a world where people felt safe, not bloodshed and destruction. And every major character ended up doing what they needed to do. Jon Snow goes back to the Night Watch, which is not needed. But guess what? He's the leader of the Wildlings.
Where's Arya Stark?
Stark is going to discover new lands. She didn't want to be a lady.
She didn't.
She's going to discover, and that's going to be another TV show. Sansa is now the true queen of the independent North, which is what Ned Stark would have wanted.
So do you think they're going to take this one, and there's going to be
absolutely. Absolutely.
They're already shooting the spinoffs.
Are they?
Are they really? Because I don't know anything
the star
about it.
Like, what characters, you know?
I don't know who. I don't know. Again, I'm the wrong guy to ask, but I know that this is already in production. There's at least three, and one of them's already started.
If it's Arya Stark, I would love to watch it.
I haven't looked up anything about that because I just have been so enthralled by this. But in a group, in a large crowd, the feeling was there wasn't this big thunderous applause. But people
it was like, it's over.
Well, yeah, of course, people were sad. Tyrion is basically the king.
Okay? Oh, good.
But who do they award the real king to? Bram.
The one that can't see?
But here's the thing. It was brilliant.
He can see, he can't walk.
He told them what to do the entire time. Without his wisdom, there would be nothing. It was a brilliant way to tie everything up.
Or was Bran playing the Game of Thrones the whole time? To where he comes out on top.
Yeah, I could believe that too.
Didn't like it as much as
you did. There's a couple things that bother me.
Let me hear it. Yeah.
Quickly, because we're going to break and we're going to move on. Yeah.
First of all, they call him Bran the Broken out of nowhere all the time, just to his face.
Right.
His man in a wheelchair, and they're like, to Bran the Broken. And he's just like, until then, he was just Brandon Stark. And so to call the king Bran the Broken is very weird.
But that's part of the story.
Another thing is, castles, not exactly wheelchair accessible.
That's a good point.
A lot of stairs in Game of Thrones. It's going to be a very difficult rule for old Bran the Broken there.
Good point.
And the problem with and she's giving the big speech, and she's like, but she's giving the speech to all her the Unsullied and to the Dothraki, and she's doing it in High Valyrian, and she's doing it in Dothraki, and Jon Snow's just standing there. He doesn't speak those languages, so he's just hearing blah 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 Winterfell, blah 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 Meereen, Dorne, blah 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 blah. And he like acts on that. And he doesn't know what she's saying. There's no way he knows.
Maybe he spoke with somebody right before that you know, these are there's so many people that that's actually not a super harsh criticism. But what you see, I checked Twitter last night after the show.
Yeah.
And it was a mix. A lot of people were happy. I was fully happy with it. I genuinely think it's one of the best endings of a TV show that was so complex. Yeah. That was so hard to do. And you look at all the characters and you're like, they have all lived what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Jon Snow was sent there to protect the world, and that's what he did ultimately. And now he's going back to be the leader of the people who really believe in him. My response to anybody who didn't like it is, what would you have done better?
What would you have done better there, Ryan Holmes?
What would I have done better? Let's see.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know.
I just want to say it wasn't what I wanted. What would I do to end the show better?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We can talk about that next.
No. We got Monster Sports next. Off the top of your dome, what would you have done to make it better?
I wouldn't have put Bran as the ultimate winner of Game of Thrones. I think that's a weird move. He's not even a human. He's the three-eyed raven, so either way, he was...
A three-eyed raven.
But what were they trying to do? Make it so that the wheel was broken, so that the next offspring wasn't going to take the throne. Right. He can't have kids.
It's kind of rude to just call out in public by his sister, like, he can't have kids anyways. That's us yelling about Russ has no boners.
He can't get a boner, he's broken.
Ah, we got Russ the Broken.
And he's right. Roman.
When we come back, it's time for Monster Sports. So if you were done, if you did not want to hear everything, tell all your friends that turned because they didn't want to hear the spoilers from Game of Thrones. We're done with that now. We'll go to Monster Sports when we come back. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Need to hear someone else's opinions before reconciling your own internal phobias? We got you, fam. Hey, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio. From the Radio.
Welcome out of the Monsters. Mornings on Real Radio 104.1 all day. Today you have a chance to win $1,000 right through the Monsters. You want to stay tuned right after the Monsters for the News Junkie. Then at 3 o'clock this afternoon, it's the Jim Colbert Show with Jack Bradshaw and Deborah Roberts and our buddy Ross Padgett. And then you got Tom and Dan right after that. So keep trying to win $1,000 all day today on Real Radio 104.1. What up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos and Ryan Holmes. And now Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports.
Monster Sports is brought to you by my great friends over there at Harry Buffalo. And the reason being is that we've partnered up together. This Sunday, if you're an F1 racing fan,
yeah,
we're going to do something pretty cool with them, the guys over there at Harry Buffalo. We're opening the doors at 8:30 in the morning, so you can come in and watch the F1 race in Monaco.
Oh, nice.
We're going to do it live with the same kind of setting that you have with a big giant TV.
Awesome. It was so awesome to watch Game of Thrones in that 4K, ridiculous, and the dragon sound. I can only imagine the sounds of the engine. Harry Buffalo, top notch. Shout out again. Thanks for having me.
So Moe's, they're doing a breakfast menu for us that morning. We're going to have a deal on Heineken's, and we're going to have door prizes from different bars and Remix Record Shop, things like that. So all you got to do is show up. There's no cover, no nothing. It's 8:30 in the morning. Again, it's to watch the F1 race at Monaco, one of the crown jewels of the F1 racing season. And we'll watch it there with all like-minded people at Harry Buffalo. Again, that's this Sunday, 8:30 in the morning. Up first, if you had to guess, there's an agency called Challenger Gray. Mm-hmm. And they do these studies. And they do these studies of workplace productivity.
Mm-hmm.
On a day like today, After a big giant TV moment as of last night, they have taken into consideration all these factors, and they're estimating that the lost workplace productivity is going to be this number. Now, to give you an idea of some of the numbers that are near there, right?
Mm-hmm.
According to this agency, Michael Cohen's House testimony on that particular day, we lost $3.8 billion in work productivity.
Oh, really?
Super Bowl Monday of 2019, we lost $4.4 billion worth of productivity.
Mm-hmm.
March Madness, $13.3 billion. Fantasy football for 2016, $16.8 billion of productivity.
So the day after the Super Bowl, it was $4 billion?
$4.4 billion worth of productivity was lost on that single day.
Okay, so I'm gonna say $2.2 billion?
Billion, okay.
That's a lot. Okay, but yeah, $2.2 billion.
I'd probably say like $6.9 billion.
$1 billion. $3.3 billion is the number that they've come up to. That is being lost today because of everyone staying up late watching this show and not coming into work.
I saw they said 10 million people were not going to work today.
Oh, yeah.
Only 18 million saw it. So,
right.
So y'all just looking for a reason not to go to work.
Well, they're about to save a bunch of money on not having an HBO subscription anymore, so they don't have to go to work today.
Good point.
Yeah.
The highest number they had on this was in 2018. Online holiday shopping, $35.4 billion. People shop while you're supposed to be at work and doing stuff. You're actually shopping. So that was interesting. This day, the eighth wonder of the world would have been how old?
You're talking about Andre the Giant?
Today's his birthday.
God, he probably would have been 73 or so.
Andre.
Exactly 73.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he would have been 73 years old if he lived to his birthday. So we got some cool sports things. Orlando City handling business like they needed to do. We needed a win like this.
Did they
FC
win?
Cincinnati was in town, and we took it to them. Nani, Tesho, Akandeli, both contributing to this. We stomped them 5-1. So it was a good victory, and it's the kind of victory that you need when you have a game like what's happening this Friday here at home. You got the LA Galaxy coming to Orlando. I know that the fans will turn out for that game. The fan turnout yesterday, but for that, and it's a funny thing that's happening with this Orlando City Stadium. The fans are figuring this out. So they did one of the overhead shots of the stadium. Everybody was sitting on the shaded side. Yesterday it was a little bit warmer.
Yeah.
And so it looked like up in the upper area where the shade was, there was a little, it was packed there. But down right where the sun was beaming, people were, kind of not sitting there. But it was funny to see that. But again, it was good to see the guys out there. One of the key things for Orlando City is going to be their health and everybody coming back healthy. But a team like Cincinnati that is lesser than you, you need to stomp them and handle them. And they did so accordingly, 5-1. So that was a good victory for them. NBA playoffs. We had the Raptors come back in overtime.
Double overtime, to
beat the Bucks 118-112, which is important because that's the only series that's a little bit of a series right now. Because if you go to the West, this is phenomenal and amazing to me, watching Golden State play the way that they're playing right now. They have all the swagger that people have been questioning about all season long.
Right now,
they look as dominable and as unbeatable as they've ever looked. And they're doing that against a Portland team.
A strong Portland
who
team.
Who we thought were going to really push these guys. And they're up in that series. Look, last game, when you're in Portland and you're down 18 in the third quarter, you know, at one part of the third quarter, you're down 18. You're not supposed to win that game. Mm-mm. And not only did they did Golden State come back and win it, they came back and clowned them and won it.
Yeah,
I mean, just the way that they were playing, the loose and free, and just
they clowned them, huh?
Yeah, they
were having fun.
They there was two teams on that court, and there was one team that was having all the fun in the world, and it was Golden State.
Yeah,
and you
can
tell that they're playing just as relaxed and as good a basketball as I've seen.
They're still just too dominant.
And I just don't see the Raptors. Nobody can beat the Bucks.
Doing this, and two of their offseason acquisitions are sitting on the bench injured, and one of those acquisitions is arguably the best player of the NBA.
Yeah, man.
Kevin Durant is sitting there going, damn it, man.
Damn, they don't even need me.
Right, what am I doing here? Yeah. Hey, New York, what's going on over there?
Yeah. He's got to be feeling a little bit. Like, these stars, they love to feel like stars, and they know their talent, and then they go and they watch their team, and it's like, oh, y'all don't really need me.
I'm curious what version of Kevin Durant we get when he steps back on the court. Because with the way that these guys are winning, if they close out Portland in this game four and they sweep them, they're going to hold both them and Cousins until the finals if they need him to recover from their injuries.
And Kevin played amazing this season.
Oh, he has!
And he definitely carried them in a lot of ways. But it's like, you also know, well, if he stepped out, well, then Klay will just step up, or Draymond will just step up.
Splash Brothers, those three.
And I
three.
Like what Draymond had been saying. Yeah. Have you been reading what he said?
No, it's interesting. It's one of those things. It's fun to see a player have that self-realization.
Introspectiveness.
Because you can tell people these things all the time. And you could tell, hey, this, this, and this. But it's not until the person becomes self-aware and sees that any change is going to happen. He saw his kid playing basketball at home. And just so you know, Russ, so this guy, Draymond Green, is probably defensively one of the best players in the league. He has the ability to impact
guard
change.
Anybody.
Yeah. But he also, in the last couple seasons, had a reputation for flopping, for being a drama queen, talking and everything. He sees his kid mimicking this, playing ball in the driveway.
Yeah, flopping.
He put a stop to that, and then he talks about it in post-game and was like, I got away from what was important, and what was important is playing the game right. And that was so the last couple games, the version of Draymond Green that we've seen.
This is college days.
Is back to what people, his fans, what they had loved about him from the very beginning. Hard nose, get into it, grind it out, beat you, but did it physically on the court, not so much with his mouth.
Gotcha.
You know, but seeing a guy have that self-realization and then talk about it in a post-game interview, that's
rare.
A neat thing. Yeah, you don't see they don't see that often. So it was a neat thing to see him do that. Over the weekend, we had a bunch of different fights going on. We had UFC go on. Rafael Dos Anjos beats Kevin Lee.
Kevin Lee's on a bad losing streak, man. He's lost his last three major fights, and he was supposed to be a guy who was being a premier. He's young. He fought a really good fighter, but yeah, we'll see if he can turn it around.
Turn around.
That world championship you showed me, that boxing.
Now, that boxing. That's not. We're going to wrap it up with Dante Wilder. A couple other victories in UFC. Ian Hensrich, he won his bout in the middleweight. And then Felicia Spencer wins a women's featherweight bout. So congratulations to all those. Now, well, we played some audio on Friday, and
please,
it was Dante talking about, you know, we're going into this fight, and we don't like each other.
I'm going to use my right. I
have the right
blood
to murder you, and I'm going to,
And he was fighting Dominic
Brazelli,
and there was bad blood with him. There was audio of Dominic saying Dante Wilder is not a boxer. He doesn't know how to fight.
He was an Olympian. This guy was an Olympian, and he even has his Olympian tattoo on him. And he took on another Olympian, Anthony Joshua, went 7 rounds, which is, he has several belts, and Anthony Joshua and Deontay have been trying to get a fight together for years.
There's
now.
No way around it. They're going to have to fight each other sometime here soon.
Yeah.
Because in about 117 seconds, give or take, Dante drops him. Like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah,
Carlos. One round.
Carlos showed me the video on Sunday when he came to MegaCon. Showed me the video, and he knocked.
You got knocked out, Russ. I love Deontay. I've been following him for years, and I'm so glad this moment is happening for him. Well, he's already been popular because Russ was asking, "Hey, how come I don't know that much about him?"
Crazy popular. It really is. It's there, respectable.
But you know how the heavyweight champion of the world used to always be on, like, let's say, you know, I don't know, like, Tonight Show, or they'd be on they'd be doing interviews, and like I still haven't seen this guy.
I think the difference is this, and this is what you're comparing it to. There's been heavyweights that we've had when they were champion that had a little bit of personality, that had a little bit of that TV kind of. They knew how to do that.
Evander Holyfield,
Deontay's
Tyson.
Not that guy.
Yeah.
Oh man, you don't think he has a personality? I think he's
He has a personality, right? He doesn't have the personality that plays well on television.
Huh.
I think people see him because he's a big intimidating guy.
Oh right.
And I think they're intimidated by him.
Yeah. Yeah,
and most of the guys that have fun with him are guys that have been interviewing him for a while, and they've had developed that rapport with him. The TV guys that we have right now haven't developed that rapport with him, and I think they're afraid of him, and that's why they haven't had him on their shows.
I've seen him on Breakfast Club. I've seen him on Rogan. So you're right. These are guys that are and girls that are used to. Charlamagne's a big boxing guy, so he can talk with them. Rogan obviously is the UFC commentator,
and that's different than network television guys.
You're very right.
Those are things I don't really watch.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And I think with this knockout, they said it perfectly. One of the commentators said, "This is the best marketing a heavyweight champ could ever have because." It was Tyson-esque, man. When he walked in, Russ, he had this Gucci Game of Thrones attire with bullet teeth, and he is...
He's a showman.
She's absolutely a showman, and he's a
sounds
scary...
Like I love it.
Oh, you would absolutely love him, and he is as scary as Tyson was in the day. Brazil wouldn't even touch gloves with him because, and that's when you know he's scared. And here's another thing. When you get hit, any fighter talks about this, and they shake it off, and they go, oh, that didn't hurt. That means you got it.
That means it hurt.
He hit him with the right hook that broke through his kind of his shell, and he shook it off. And I said, "Oh, it's about to happen, baby!" And I was watching it live after coming home from Epcot, and I was jumping up and down like a little kid. I'm so happy for Deontay. Great family man. Great.
Here's the audio from that moment that Carlos saw.
They're off of him by landing his own right hand.
The crowd already in fuego. Like the action here in the first frame. Brazil survived. His first taste of adversity.
See the firepower of Wilder. That punch landed on top of the head, not even on the chin or anywhere on the face. And Brazil was stumbling a little bit. But credit to Brazil for having the character to throw with him. And
oh God! Was that a baseball bat?
It was.
Was that a baseball bat?
They are feeling it in Brazil. Mamma mia!
That was him knocking him out.
That was him.
Oh.
To watch it in slow motion, Russ, to see Deontay's eyes lock in on his chin and come across and hit him. And Joe Rogan, who's seen everybody, he's probably the biggest fighting analyst in the world right now, says that's the hardest hitting puncher he's ever seen.
Has he ever seen Mike Tyson?
Interviewed him and loves him, but he says since Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
But if you look at his traps, man.
Yeah, here's the thing. Deontay was ready to go another 13 rounds.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't even tired.
He wasn't even.
We're not even seeing Deontay's peak. The dude's been boxing, I think, for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's and he's American born, and he's representing our country, and we haven't had that in a long time. And
the Bronze Bomber, go at him.
Bronze Bomber, man. Really fun.
I like it.
Great guy to watch.
And that's Monster Sports.
Thank you so much. When we come back, I don't know what we're doing. We'll figure something out. You're listening to Monster Sports. I don't know what we're doing. Hey, welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos and Ryan Holmes, and Stephen Kramer is here with us today. Hello, Stephen Kramer. How you doing?
How are you doing?
Good. Did you see the Did you see the fight they were just showing, the Wilder fight?
I did not. I mean, I saw the clip you guys were looking at.
Are you a boxing guy? Are you a fight fan?
I was like, yeah, always. Yeah. always. But, you know, now that it's not HBO, that was my go-to always.
Oh, right. Yeah. Now, is it just Showtime now?
Yeah, Showtime. Yeah.
I mean, Showtime's been for a while, right?
Yeah.
No, I think it was like last year sometime they recently announced it.
Yeah, but, HBO Boxing went away a year ago.
Yeah.
Hey, and then also, Carlos just showed me another. This is the third in a row with Game of Thrones where there was a water bottle in the scene. I've never... I don't remember hearing a TV show that made this many mistakes.
And the coincidence, I guess, or not even that, but just the fact that it's this fantasy show.
Yeah.
And that you can't happen.
You can't have a water bottle.
It can't happen, but it is a thing actors do on set. It's almost, I mean, everybody knows, hey, you drink water, you hide it behind the scene.
You got to hydrate.
You got to hydrate, especially out there. They're draped in leather in the middle of who knows where.
And then the next layer of leather.
Yeah.
And then some steel, maybe?
But that is on the actors, and that is on, like, they keep saying editors. It's not an editor's job to look at every single part of, they're looking at the dialogue. They're looking at the actual shot. They're not like, let's investigate.
They can catch it. I mean, it's not their job.
No, that's the continuity flaw directors. That's a script supervisor's job. That's somebody else's job on set to do
manager?
A sweep. Yeah, what's that?
Whoever manages the set, too, right? To make sure, hey, we're getting ready to shoot. There's a cup in the middle of the shot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming now that it's going to be... There's going to be one person in charge.
I've got the solution for next season of Game of Thrones. What we do is we make sure that the water bottles and coffee cups that they have are just, they're Game of Thrones. Hey, it's all recurring characters that have this problem. It's like, hey, you're a recurring character. Here is a flagon that looks like it's medieval. You can have your coffee or water in that. And then if you accidentally leave it on set, it won't look like something from 2019. America.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
or make everything bright orange or green.
Yeah, do it bright green because then you can chroma key it out, right?
Yeah,
because
every time, I mean, like even the last coffee cup was brown, so it fit in with the scene. It was, and this one just a water bottle sitting there.
And the other mistake was the hand of Jaime Lannister. I guess he didn't have his metal hand on.
Yeah. I think that was just on a promotional poster.
Yeah,
so someone told me later.
That was an important plot point this week.
Yeah,
So that's my one regret, is being 10 minutes later today than I needed to be.
Why?
Because I want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Game of Thrones. Yeah, we had two people that were mad. You guys are a-holes.
Two? Then isn't it a fair game right now?
You know what?
If you're a fan of the show and you were not caught up for the finale of the show,
you're sorry.
You're not
that
big of a fan.
That's right. And you do what I've done a million times. You put your finger in your ears. La, 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 la. Okay, I'm listening.
Well,
la,
overall,
la, la.
Were you happy with it?
Yeah, I was looking at my predictions. Here's my predictions that I wrote, right? I'm showing Carlos. And I got to say, I got 4 out of 5, like, dead on.
Wait a second. Let's get a cookie for him.
I'm proud of that.
I mean,
can I say what I would like to have seen?
Yeah.
Or is that still a spoiler?
Yeah,
no, I don't care. You know what? Spoilers.
Well, now we got to redo it again.
Yeah.
Coming up, everybody, there's going to be some spoilers. So either turn your radio down for about, 10 minutes, right? Is that what we got to do? Because the people, they're so bad.
Or you can say, listen, if you're a crybaby and you cry because of spoilers, get ready to cry.
Yeah, Kramer, what would you have done differently?
I mean, I was satisfied with the ending. I was upset about Jon Snow for a little while when I thought it was just take the black. Let's go to the Castle Black and the wall. I was upset about that. And then they did the right thing with Tormund waiting. And... you know, the future of leading the wildlings, because that's
exactly
where he's happy.
He's the leader. He's the king. Like he didn't want to be the king of that take the Iron Throne. He wants to protect. That's what he ended up ultimately doing.
When he was happiest.
Right.
When he knew nothing. Jon Snow, he was the happiest of any time. And he was too much like his father. He was too much like his adoptive father, Ned Stark. Because Ned would have never been great as a king. He wasn't great at statecraft. He wasn't great at guile. He was not that guy. He was too pure. But what was flawed was their logic about the future. Like, obviously, they didn't learn anything about claims to thrones. One of the reasons that you have, like, one of the reasons in feudal societies that you had a very clear order of succession is to avoid succession wars. Because what happens is, if you don't have an heir that's clear, then people go at it. Even when you have brothers, sometimes you have, you know, succession wars. So I don't understand the logic of, it's good to have a king that can't have a kid. Yeah, in a feudal society.
And the part where they're all like voting on the king, and Samuel Tarly goes, "What if we gave everybody a vote?
I thought that was funny.
Everybody's involved. Everybody," and they just break out in laughter. Yeah. Essentially, oh, it's,
I mean,
it's,
I so get bad. It. I guess the idea is they'll have a council every yeah. time, and mm-hmm. the six kingdoms will get together. But obviously, that didn't work for the last however many 20 plus years since the Robert Baratheon's
well,
war.
It works so, for so, us.
Stephen, you actually read the books, right? So, and then you see this is the TV ending, much different than the books, right?
Well, there's no ending to the books. It has to be different because the books are on a different trajectory.
Yeah, right,
they
right.
They have been. I mean, there are big differences. I think we talked about like a minor one before. And now, of course, I'm talking about it. I can't think of like one that really matters, but there's a lot of differences between the books and the show. And, you know,
I think they could have shown Daenerys' descent into madness, or like her overall mental state. That like they left like a thing where like she like tortures a wine seller's daughter that tries to poison her. You know, like there's stuff that she does in yeah. the book that's like pretty bad.
That would have tipped the cap.
And they
well, they did a good job of Tyrion kind of reciting like the history when that was an important scene, because Jon Snow, after the burning of King's Landing, he knew in his heart what needed to happen.
Yeah. Right.
He didn't need to hear the speech.
Yeah.
He knew in his heart.
He knew.
But Tyrion's speech, you know, going about the crucifixions and the burning and the, you know, and all the things that she had done to show that this was a pattern that she'd done all
right in, the whole time.
And it was a classic recurring message, which is there is no such thing as utopia.
Right.
There is no such thing as utopia, and you're never going to find it. And the effort to find utopia winds up getting us in more trouble.
Mm-hmm. A lot of killing.
It's like Kierkegaard says, you know, when humans have nothing to lack, then they'll complain about lacking nothing.
Yeah. Hey, well, okay, so going past Game of Thrones, we were just talking about Monster Sports, and there was over the weekend, War of Will won. Let's see here. I think won Preakness, the Preakness, right? And I saw on some report where the guy that owns Maximum Security, he didn't race the horse because he couldn't win the Triple Crown. He put out a challenge to like five other horses that were in the Kentucky Derby, and it said all the owners put up $5 million and winner takes all. And let's do a race. Is that legal? Can you do that, Stephen Kramer?
So different states have their rules for horse racing. I think there's two sets of rules at issue. One is whatever the state law is in the state that they're going to do it in. And I'm sure they could find one where they could do it for sure, right? I mean, all they have to do is find a race that's established and then say these are the only horses running in that race and this is what we're going to do. The other side of it, though, is the organization that manages horse racing. Like, I've got to imagine they wouldn't be happy about that.
So, okay, but let's
say... I don't know if that breaks their bylaws or whatever.
Let's say five guys that own these horses all have the money. They all put up
burgers.
They all put up
awesome.
They all put up $5 million, and they have the race, and it's really, really close, and there's a debate on which horse actually won. Like, can you take that to court and say, listen, we had a bet, and I mean, can betting come to court?
I mean, but betting is legal in parimutuel settings.
Yeah, and sports betting is legal now, too. It's up to the state. So like he's saying, just find the right state to do it. What's at cost here, or what's at stake here, is something bigger. The fact that because of this qualification coming out of the Kentucky Derby, no horse had a real legitimate chance, or no horse has a legitimate chance to claim the Triple Crown winner. And that's mm-hmm. that's what they're arguing about. That's what this is all about.
Yeah. I like that he's putting his money where his mouth is.
Yeah.
He was putting his money on Maximum Security.
A lot of money.
You can go to Saudi Arabia, do that. Ooh. They'll be like, well, let's I mean, you go. It's just
that's exactly right. You can overseas, laugh. Too.
Yeah, the Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder matchup was supposed to happen on a cruise ship in the middle of the ocean.
Why?
Like, international
waters. And look, it's boxing.
That'd be a big cruise ship.
Yeah, it would. Mm. But it was supposed to be a private event because
the horse
money.
Barge.
Yeah, the money was huge. So you could do essentially the same thing, you know, in another country.
Remember that story of Axl Rose and his management, and he said, I want you to set up a fight with me and Vince Neil. We're going to fly to Saudi Arabia and
or
whoever
Tunisia or someplace
yeah, whoever
like that.
Wins, it's a fight to the death. Whoever wins gets the other guy's millions.
Yeah.
And of course, Vince Neil was like, no.
He's Axl was
serious. He's like, we're going to fight to the death.
Fight to the death.
Yeah. And it was,
I did not hear about that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It was actually an island because it was legal to fight to the death at this island.
Yeah.
That was the story.
And Axl Rose had it all set up. They had the plane all set. It's like only one of us is coming back, and I want you to sign everything away.
As long as one of them has a trident and a net. Right. I mean, that's got to be gladiatorial rules,
totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Or maybe I have Aquaman on my mind because I finally watched it this past weekend.
What'd you think?
I thought it was, they definitely read The Hero of a Thousand Faces. They definitely had a lot of Joseph Campbell going on because they did it was the Sword in the Stone. It was Arthurian legend. I mean, they even named him Arthur. And then they did a little nod to, whatchamacallit, I can't remember his name. Anyway, but it was cool. I mean, they named the guy Arthur. It was the Sword in the Stone, the quest for the tribe. Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was good. It started a little cheesy.
I spoke to somebody, I won't say who, but somebody over the weekend who dealt with everyone last year at MegaCon and said that Mr. Momoa was very difficult to deal with and that he would not leave until he got his cash money. He did not want a check. He wants his $50,000 cash money.
Oh,
and
wow.
He didn't leave until he gets paid. And they said he was very, very difficult to deal with, yeah, which is...
Maybe that's why he canceled this year.
He canceled this year. But he don't need the money, man. He's fine.
He's doing good. I mean, he's still riding high as Khal Drogo forever, for a long time.
As what?
As Khal Drogo,
Man, I know the Aquaman money. That's what he's got.
That's true, but he could do conventions and be okay for the next 20 years. I mean, Carlos knows that world.
Yeah.
But getting your money is the most important part. I mean, like, people always call somebody a dick because they're like, this guy stood around and waited until he got paid. Yeah, because a lot of promoters... I deal with this all the time in the comedy industry. They'll go out of their way to not pay you. They'll, like, wait you out sometimes to see if you'll just leave.
Yeah, that's what you need a tour manager.
It's like, you know, 7 o'clock at night, right? And you're like, no, you need to go get me cash right now. Banks are closed, man.
And that happens. Yeah. If you've been in a band on tour, you know that stuff happens. Right. Lovecraft is the nod they did in the movie Aquaman, and they had the creature that was definitely like a H.P. Lovecraft creature.
Oh, what's that thing called? That Chitlulup?
Well, it was like the creature of the deep thing.
So you liked it?
I liked it. I thought it was good.
All right, when we come back, I think Stephen Kramer has a scenario for us that we can try to figure out. Your chance to win $1,000 is here. We've given away $16,000. This could be your chance. So good luck. I'd love to see you win. Listen for the keyword and text it to 200-200. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
$1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1 from the
Radio. Real Radio 104.1.
Hey, good luck. Hey, this is that. This is a mashup. Hold on, we'll hear this.
Might as well jump.
Oh, get out there, Joe!
I don't care who you are. I like that.
This is the Armin Van Buuren remix of Jump. We had video of this a while ago. You could go to Monsters.fm and revisit that video with David Lee Roth on stage singing over the top of this video clip.
We're having a good time.
Yeah, so we got the official release of it. So
it's like an EDM concert, right?
It's a whole 100% EDM version of Jump.
And most of the people at this EDM concert didn't know who David Lee Roth was. But they kind of knew the song, or they just dug the song?
I think they dug the song.
Can we hear some more?
Yeah.
Brought the hell?
Who's the guy that put it out?
Armin Van Buuren.
Van Buuren.
Yeah, he's a huge star in electronic music. So
cool. I like it. Welcome back to the Monsters Morning Drill Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins along with Angel and Carlos, Ryan Holmes, and Stephen Kramer is here. If you need to get hold of Stephen Kramer, it's onefirmforlife.com. That's onefirmforlife.com. Stephen, what do you have for us today?
Yes, it is onefirmforlife.com. So I thought it was appropriate. We're getting to that time when kind of everybody's, at least anybody that pays attention to law and politics in Florida, is kind of wondering what's going to get signed, what's not. Uh-huh. As far as new laws, have you guys heard about any?
Well, the only one I've heard about is the one about texting and driving.
That's right.
Yeah, and I know that over at Channel 6, Matt, what's his name? The lead anchor at
Austin.
6,
yeah,
Matt Austin, worked really hard on that, and looks like that may come.
I love Matt.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
I'm really liking Governor DeSantis so far. I think, I haven't agreed with everything, but he seems to kind of be actually doing the job of a governor and looking at things and pushing
he's
things.
He's pretty popular right now.
Yeah,
and not just going party line.
No, not at all. I mean, he definitely got there by a hard party line. But you know, we'll see. It's very, very early on. But I hope he can also find the way to push the tax incentive in for you know, entertainment tax incentive.
Yes,
that would be huge for our state.
I mean, yeah, I remember back being a kid, and it was supposed to be Hollywood East.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
All the studios opened, and all the shows and movies.
The tour of the back lot of Universal Studios that used to have all the cool stuff from the movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was this is going to happen.
Yep.
Who is it from Ozark?
Jason Bateman?
Jason Bateman said he will not go to Georgia if they pass the law.
Well, it's already been passed.
Alyssa Milano obviously is kind of behind that effort, and you know, but I've not heard that any shows are stopping there.
What's that?
The heartbeat bill, I believe?
Yeah, the abortion topic. He said that, you know, he will not go and film anything in Georgia if that is if that continues.
That is something that did not pass in Florida. There was a fetal heartbeat bill that failed.
We're going to allow women to make their own decisions about their own bodies?
That failed.
That's crazy talk.
Well, this is all one big test to challenge Roe v. Wade with the new setup of the Supreme Court. They're throwing in the most extreme things, and they're going to see what gets pulled back.
That is an effort to get another examination. However, judging by the recent decisions of the court, it's interesting because in the past couple of years, actually in recent memory under the Roberts Court, you have seen that the court is not a litmus test for R or D or conservative or liberal. In fact, I think the last session that I looked at, there were 20 different configurations of rulings by the court, meaning they arranged themselves 20 different ways. That's 9 people, 20 different ways. So you know, these are not ideologues. These are people that give thought and take each case on an independent basis. That's the message to take from there. So that is I don't know if that is the goal, that is the right strategic play. As far as Florida, that texting law will go into effect on, at least most of it will go into effect on July 1st.
And what is the law? What is the texting law?
You cannot, except under rare exceptions, you cannot use your phone while driving. Or
very specific scenarios. If you're calling 911, those kind of things. Then the law is that if they actually see you, before it was a secondary offense.
Mm-hmm.
Now it can be a primary offense, and that's why they would pull you over.
And they could pull you over for it.
If it saves lives, it's good.
Well, and the evidence is overwhelming of the risks and dangers of using your phone while driving. Now, drivers are still allowed to use their phones to navigate, to make phone calls, right, and to read emergency messages like weather alerts. So it's going to be that will definitely test the reach of this law, right? The fine is $30 and for the first offense, and then for second offense, it's $60 plus court fees and 3 points on your license. So clearly we have not. I expect this to become more stringent in the future. I think it will become more restrictive and the penalties will go up. Yeah, I'm thinking about that David Beckham and the way England handles things. Britain approaches driving in a completely different way.
David Beckham, he lost his license for 6 months.
That's right, for texting while driving.
Yeah.
Effectively in slow traffic, looking at his knees.
And there was no real proof. He says he wasn't doing it, and he was looking down at his knees, and they think he was texting. So they did.
He didn't fight it too hard, though.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and he has the resources to do what he wants.
Right. He didn't fight it too hard. He didn't want to have to show his phone. That's the other part of it, because who knows who he was talking to.
Yeah.
And it's not his first time, his first offense at this. So.
Yeah. But you know, you get a driver. Wouldn't you love to have a driver driving around, Carlos?
Nah, that's a dream of mine. In a straight butler
you
outfit.
You can Uber.
In a straight butler outfit.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to call him Alfred.
Yeah, tuxedo. Like, that to me is success.
Yeah,
I can eat a sandwich.
Look, if I get
that
robot car, I'm sticking a mannequin in the front seat, dressed in
like
a tuxedo.
I want an old white guy though. It's got to be an old white guy.
I want an old British guy.
Yeah.
Carlos, where would you like to go today? Dave and Buster's again. Thank you.
I'm gonna say, listen, I'm gonna call you Alfred, and you're gonna drive me around wherever I want.
Exactly.
Well, I expect that law to get tougher in future years. I think there'll be revisions, and it'll become more restrictive, more stringent, because I think it is because of the exceptions it carves out, it's going to be difficult to enforce.
Well, I kind of like the one where if you're at a stoplight, you can be looking at your phone, because I've been in other states where, like, I think my mom got hit on that. She travels around the country a lot. She got hit on that, and she was on her phone at a stop sign, nothing going on, no car moving, and she still got a ticket.
Gotcha. Yeah. Right now, I mean, there's those exceptions carved out. One exception is in a school zone or construction zone, it's a no tolerance. It's a no tolerance.
As well it should be.
Yeah. So another thing that just got signed, what do you guys think about Florida infrastructure? There's a big push this year to allow for some additional roads to come into play. The push for it was that Florida basically gains a city the size of Orlando every year.
Yeah.
And that we need more toll roads or roads in Florida to support the infrastructure.
Well, I got to tell you what, you know, now that I live out in Apopka area, when I want to get to the Orange County Convention Center, which I had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I had to get out the Orange County Convention Center. So you take the 419.
429.
429. Man.
Oh, that 429 is
that
nice.
Is so beautiful. Much, right? That is so much better than going down I-4.
Oh, it's like a personal, private back road.
I'm like, what is this? I mean, I know it's been there for a while, but I feel like I just discovered some new beautiful thing. And I'm like, I can get to you
Disney
know,
like that.
Disney like that. There's nobody on that road.
That's one thing I went to
Disney.
Yet.
Huh?
Yet. There will be.
Yeah.
It will grow to
meet
it.
That's why it's building in the way it is.
Yeah. Thoughts on more roads, good, bad?
No, but
we're talking about highways.
Can we get to a point where the toll road actually pays for the road and then we get rid of that toll road there?
Okay, tolls are
it
not.
Never does.
Okay, understand this. Toll roads are never going to go away.
Because they make money.
They are never, it's never going to go away. Because if that's the case, the first toll road that would go away would be the 408, the east-west. That's paid for itself a couple of times. It's not going away.
The argument is you pay for it if you use it. You're going to pay for it either way. So either everybody pays for roads that you may never use. So I got to pay for a road that I may never use, or I pay the toll and pay for it on a daily basis. The criticism of that, of course, is that hits people without money or with less money harder. So it's regressive from a tax perspective in that way. But so one of the things that got signed was this. I guess, bill to expand Florida infrastructure and allow some roads to come into play. This was a very contentious issue. Of course, it was very unpopular with environmental advocates because basically they said where there are roads, there is sprawl. But this is one where it would have been very difficult politically from the core group that supports the governor to reject it. And they were pushing again. Florida's gaining in Orlando every year and needs the infrastructure to basically cross a state and support the residents that are here and the ones coming. Interesting, because DeSantis, he's kind of done some things on an environmental level that have been surprising. One is he did not take sugar money during the election. And then two is he basically...
Can we take sugar money? Is there any sugar money they'd send us?
You are big sugar.
Well, remember, there was,
I'll take big sugar money.
There was the red tide. That was a big thing. Yeah. And he's been critical. So we put like $600 million into Everglades restoration and fired the entire board that oversaw water conservation in South Florida when they were going to extend the lease to sugar. So anyway, but he's taking some heat on that one from environmental groups. And then there's a whole bunch of other laws that we don't know what are going to happen in the next month or so. I think one of the ones that did get signed or is likely to get signed, I'm not sure, is the Guardian's Law, and that is allowing certain teachers with training to carry firearms at school. That is another one.
I say let them do it. If they had their proper training, they know what they're doing. They're not crazy.
I say give it a test run though. Like let's sign that into law, but like give it like 365 days, see how it goes. And then, like, you have to re-up the bill every year, you know, because there's a lot. The thing I'm concerned about is, like, that means you have a gun at school from teachers. Say it gets misplaced. Now, actually, there's a gun out there. I mean, police officers lose guns.
But it's it's such a headline for that to say teachers having guns. But just like there are.
It's in the details.
It is in the details. Of course we need to have people there with guns protecting our kids. It's the worst soft target in the world, and the fastest police agency in the world cannot get there in time. We're not talking about giving guns to a second-grade teacher. Yeah. We're not talking about giving a gun to the fourth
Mrs.
grade.
Mrs. Lewis has a gun now.
Yeah, look, it's in the front desk. Pull it open.
I was a lot better if I was a kid.
It's about there are people. There are former veterans. There are former law enforcement officers.
And they know what they're doing.
There are people that train with this that take this with such great pride and have a purpose behind it that it needs to happen in the right way in order to help protect our kids. And I mean, it can be totally used as a political wedge on both sides, but I just don't see I just don't see how having more protection for our kids with the right training,
the right people,
and you know, not them walking around like stormtroopers with like you know Israel in the 80s. You know, it has to be well
done. Not the old driver's ed teacher
who's
been drinking vodka during the break. Not that guy. Yeah. All right, it's Stephen Kramer. It's onefirmforlife.com. That's onefirmforlife.com. When we come back, it's time to do some trivia. If you want to win some stuff, you might want to get on the line. The telephone number to dial is 407-916-1041. Or toll free, it's 1-888-978-1041. You are listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
Because sometimes inviting amongst friends is exactly what you need to lower the volume on the voices in your head. Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Hey, it's Triple R segment at 9:20 today. We got backed up, man. Got a bunch of stuff going on. Quick day. Brought to you by MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. That's MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. Mike the Home Builder can help you patch your roof if you're having roof issues. If your house is damaged by hail or something like that, he can work with your insurance company and get it all paid for you. Get you a brand new roof. Also, he did my entire house, my new house, which was a fixer-upper, and he did the fixing up. So you can check it out at Monsters.fm and see what it was and what it is now, thanks to MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. That's MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. Hey, I do want to do another quick thank you to everyone that came out at MegaCon. It was so nice to meet a lot of people, all the people that bought my comic book, Jolly Jane. Thank you so much. Big thanks to Jeff Kaufman, co-writer and the owner of Big City Comics, for being out there with me all weekend long. And we got to meet a lot of very nice people, and it was very, very cool. Hey, let's see what prize we have in the prize pinata today, Angel.
The prize pinata is brought to you by Centel Family Moving and Storage, a family-owned and operated company. Whenever the monsters need to move, we use Centel Family Moving and Storage. Family-owned and operated. Get your quick, instant moving quote online today at centelmoving.com. That is CENTOmoving.com. Just a couple prizes that we gave away earlier today with six things. We happened to give away a pair of tickets to see Orlando City take on the LA Galaxy this Friday, May the 24th. That match is at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Tickets start at just $21. You can grab yours today at OrlandoCitySC.com/tickets. For trivia, we have a pair of tickets to the 12th annual West End Trading Company's Hurricane Party, Saturday, June the 1st, downtown Sanford, featuring two sets by the supervillains, Thomas Wynn and the Believers, and so much more.
Supervillains.
Supervillains, yes, sir. On five different stages, the party starts at noon sharp. Get your tickets now at drinkwestend.com. And those are the prizes in today's prize pinata.
Thanks, Angel. 407-916-1041. Alan from Port Orange. You're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, bud?
Good. How's it going?
Good. I have a trivia question for you, and if you get it right, take your prize. If you don't get it, then one of the monsters can help you, and you can either ask Carlos to help, Angel, or Ryan Holmes, okay?
All right.
All right. After 20 years and 3,000 episodes, this once number one hit that premiered on ABC in 1999 has finally been canceled. What is the name of this game show that's finally been canceled after 20 years?
Oh man, I felt like I saw this, but I really don't know. Let's go with the Gong Show.
The Gong Show. No, Gong Show has not been on. Well, I guess it was on and came back on. No, but that's not it. Who do you want to help you? You've got Angel, Carlos, or Ryan Holmes.
You know what? I feel like he always gets picked last, so I'm going for Ryan first.
Ryan Holmes, Mr. Trivia.
Man. All right.
Mr. Trivia, Mr. Boogerbeard, yeah. Mr. Dunce of Denmark, Mr.
Johnny Denmark.
Johnny Denmark.
He's also the King of Denmark.
King of Douche.
Bruce Brain. Don't forget that one.
Boogerbeard. Mm-hmm. We mentioned that one,
I
right?
I hope I get this right.
Okay. Ryan, mm-hmm. Trivia King. After 20 years and 3,000 episodes, this once number one hit that premiered on ABC in 1999 has finally been canceled. What show are we talking about?
20 years, 3,000 episodes.
And it's a game show.
It's a game show. Oh, man. Oh, do you want my final answer?
Boom.
It's going to be Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
King of Denmark! Booger that's the only name!
Booger
no,
Beard.
King of Denmark.
I would have been... You should have gotten that.
Congratulations, sir. We put you on hold. Booger Beard got it for you.
Woo!
Say thank you, Booger Beard.
No.
Thank you, Booger Beard.
Don't give him a prize. When you no prize.
Hail to the Booger Beard. Yeah, after 20 years, man. And it went from... Okay, at first it was Regis, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then it was Terry Crews for a while.
No, but it was the woman.
Marissa.
Who was that British? No, at first it wasn't a British woman.
No, that was a different
show.
That
was the Weakest Link.
The Weakest
Link. You are the Weakest Link. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a different one. Yeah. Yeah, so this one's finally canceled.
I think Cedric the Entertainer was also the host for a bit.
Meredith.
Meredith Vieira.
Yeah.
And then, man, it took over the nation, though. It was like the biggest deal for at least 2 or 3 years. It was like... Can you believe they're giving away $100,000 or was it $1 million?
Yeah. Only 12 people actually won the million.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think they were sued one time for having like a question that was wrong.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? Certain game shows, they'll come on like fire, you know, and then they kind of lose their luster. The one with the briefcases.
Deal or no deal.
Yeah. That was so popular for a while with Howie Mandel.
Yep.
And then when they changed and it wasn't Howie, it was someone else, it kind of like, it's not as good.
And then Howie came back and did it, but is it syndicated now?
I don't think it's still around, is it?
I don't know.
Wait, which one?
Yeah, he came back. He came back and he did another version of it.
Howie Mandel with the
Deal or No Deal. Yeah.
Deal or No Deal.
Yeah. Oh, the show's around, but it's being hosted by somebody else.
Oh, is it?
And then what's the show that's being Deal or No Deal? It's a comic. Has a ties to Orlando that hosts it now.
Oh, you talking about
And the joke with him was he would kick your ass Oh man, I forgot the guy's name. The joke was that he was a badass, and then he would be used in skits. And you don't want so and so smacking you.
Oh yeah, he's
a nice guy.
He does the improv skits, and he's from
Wayne
Orlando.
Brady.
Wayne Brady hosts
the
Deal or No
Bit.
So I remember 1999. It came out right, and it was like this game show's gonna give away $1 million. I mean, that really like. Up the ante for every other
thing. That was a big deal back
then.
But now $1 billion is really, to a lot of people, that's not a big deal.
The genius of that show was like, it started off just completely just dumb questions, and you felt like you could win.
Yeah.
Like every time you start, there's obviously the first one where they give you like 3 multiple choice, and then the fourth one's like a jokey answer. But you get to like question 10, and you're like, I think I got a shot, Claire.
Right.
I think I could win this show.
Yeah.
Just the odds of you actually getting to the winning point was the show was actually really well insured because they gave away so little money for how much money, because you said 3,000 episodes and they only won 12 times.
Yeah.
Right.
That's pretty good. I mean, in 1999 money, so it'd be like $1.5 million today.
I went to a taping of Deal or No Deal and
that's
watched
right.
that. Yeah, in L.A. It was really fun and to watch Howie do it and you know, it's much more nerve-wracking, obviously, when you're in front of a bunch of people. I mean, I didn't perform play in it, but it was fun to watch, and it was just like at the height of its peak then.
My goal is to get on Price is Right.
I was going to say, is that the longest-running game show there is, Price is Right? Because I'll go home, like, if I get home.
I think Jeopardy.
If I get out here quick enough, I'll watch. No, Price is Right.
It's been on before that?
It's been on before that, I believe.
Yeah. The longest-running game show is Price is Right. From 1956 is when it started.
I'll watch it sometimes when I go home, you know, eating my lunch or whatever, and I still like it. I mean, it's fun.
What was it? Is it Deal or No? What was the one where you
Jeopardy was almost 10 years later.
Yeah, at the where you dress up in the audience.
Oh, that's still going.
Oh,
that's,
I want that one.
That's
where you dress up like celery or something.
Let's make a deal.
Yeah. Let's make a deal, and that's with Wayne Brady.
Yes, as a kid, I would watch that and be like, one day I'm going to be in that audience. I'm going to dress up as Oscar the Grouch or something like that. Yeah,
Oscar the Grouch.
Because it's like, that show was fun. You
know? What's your favorite game show of all time?
Man.
Price is Right, man. Those were the sick days home from school watching Price is Right.
Yeah. I still love Match Game. It was Match Game, the night, I don't know, 78, 79. They kept going 83 or whatever, and basically had to match. But it was all the, like, C-level stars, and they would try to, you know, infer dirty answers. And I don't know. I used to love that stupid show.
I'll throw it back Nickelodeon style. There's a show called What Would You Do?
You were on that, right?
Yeah, no. Remember that? What? When Mark Summers hosted it. And you'd have to get, what would you do?
I remember the song, but I can't remember the premise of the show.
And they had a pie machine, and if you messed up, you get like 7 pies in the face. No, I was on Get the Picture and Legends of the Hidden Temple.
You were on Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Man.
What team were you on?
I was Golden Snake.
Oh.
Yeah, I was a Golden Snake.
Is that awesome. When they flashed up a picture of a pecan pie and you called it an almond pie?
I'll never live that down. That was Get the Picture with Michael Malley. And I was a little Hispanic kid who'd never
had...
Do you
have video of this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we got to
put
that on YouTube.
Oh, totally. And I was crushing it the first round. Like, boom, boom. And then I got so cocky. And then they...
That don't sound like you.
Yeah, I know. And then I was trying to figure out the puzzle. And I was like seeing this thing. And I was like, what is that? And my voice hadn't gone through puberty yet, so I was like, almond pie!
And all the other kids looked at him like, almond pie? Who eats almond pie?
Never had a pecan pie. You know?
I always wanted to be on Nick Arcade. Do you remember Nick Arcade?
Yeah.
It was you play a video game and you try to get the most points, which points in video games never mattered to me. Yeah. That was never the point of playing it. But if you win, if you go to the final round, you got to be in the video game.
In the video game.
But then I realized as an adult, it's just you and
a green screen.
Just kind of jumping. Over, and I'm like, that's so lame.
Yeah, no, my Legends of the Hidden Temple could have gone, like, my Get the
Picture. Did you make it all the way through?
Listen,
No.
My Get the Picture experience was amazing. I stayed on set at Universal Studios. I ate candy and pizza, and I was with this cool girl, and we just had this amazing experience. My Legends of the Hidden Temple experience, not good. I would love to meet the girl. Where she's at today, but
she made fun of you or something, right?
No, they were selecting the people. I was with this this fit soccer girl. I was training for this. Uh-huh. I was doing the ropes, and then the producers walked in just haphazardly picking teams together, no rhyme, no reason, and like he's like you, and there was a short little fat girl who was annoying,
and you got her,
and he goes you, and I'm like. Whoa. And she, the first thing Ryan Holmes, because Russ has heard this a million times, she walks up to me and she goes, I just have to let you know, I have no upper body strength. And the very first thing was a rope across the pool.
Oh, I remember, yes.
She's right in the drink. Right in the drink.
Splash! Splash!
And that girl today is Elon Musk.
Yeah, totally changed. So that was my experience with that. But I do want to get another game show.
My closest thing to a game show when I was a kid, the Bozo Show was up in Chicago, mm-hmm. but they did a local version of the Bozo Show in Orlando, and I went to the Bozo Show. And they're like, who wants to do pie in the face? And I'm like, ooh, I get to eat pie, right? And so
is this a sanctioned show or is this in the back room of some dude's house?
I raise my hand and they pick me to be pie in the face. Like, okay, now. And I didn't know what pie in the face was.
You never forgot since.
And they're like, put your face here and you got to click the clicker, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. And then like, you know, the more you do, the bigger prizes you get. And I didn't like getting dirty even back then. And I just clicked it once and Bozo was like, go ahead. If you want more prizes, you got to click more. I'm like, I don't know. And I'm just shaking my hand. And Bozo whispers, goes, kid, do it. Click it some more. And I'm like, I don't want to get pie in my face. And they're like, okay, well, get him out of here. And then they had to get some other kid because I was afraid to get all pied up.
No game show for you ever, Ryan Holmes?
I've never been on a game show.
Angel, you in a game show?
Always too tall for TV.
Tall for TV.
I have that problem.
That sucks. All right, when we come back, it's time for Carlos to take it to the top. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Hey, once again, remember, Monster Ween is going to happen October 27th at Hard Rock Live. And the headline is Ace Frehley. So listen, all you KISS fans, You know, I had to really, really fight hard to get this to happen. So if you're a Kiss fan, call your other friends that are Kiss fans. Let's show that Ace Frehley can sell out Hard Rock Live, because maybe some people didn't think he could, and maybe I spoke for Ace. So come on, Kiss Army. Let's get the tickets, and let's go see Ace Frehley on October 27th at Hard Rock Live, and it's going to be a great time. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Ryan Holmes, and now it's time for Carlos to take it to the top.
Let's go. Okay, cookie. Good morning, everybody. Hello, my name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To The Top. Every single morning, trying to take you to the top, make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. And I had a wonderful weekend filled with family fun, filled with theme parks, and megacons.
Yeah.
And I want to thank everybody who came over and said hello, whether they were, you know, talking about the show or talking about Walking Dead or listening growing up.
A lot of people love you, Carlos.
Well, thanks, man.
I was there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and they kept asking for you.
Wow, it was fun hanging with you, bro, and I'm glad that your comic book is kicking ass, and as it should. It's really good. And had a nice listener say, man, I've been listening to you since I was in high school, and when I first saw what you look like, I was surprised. And I always like to ask people, well, what did you think I looked like? And he goes, well, I thought you looked way more Spanish. I was like, okay. I don't know what that means.
How does that look?
What does that mean?
Like, I always do.
I pictured you with, like, I don't know, some brown. Yeah. Shooting guns into the air.
It
browner.
Yeah, and that's what I said.
I thought you were a browner.
That's basically what I said. Basically, browner's like, and he wasn't, he was super nice.
He didn't mean it mean.
But you don't, like, it's always weird to hear that. And then they're like, but no, you look white. I am white. I'm Caucasian. That's the race. But my ethnicity is Hispanic. Let's continue to kind of understand that those are separate things.
What is the difference between the two? I mean, I know, so clear it up for the listeners.
What's you don't the difference? Know.
Well, there's about five races, I believe. Mm. You got the black race, you got Caucasian, you got Asian, you got American Indian, and
Eskimo.
Yeah, that is about it. Okay, then you have ethnicities. And that is a whole, mixed bag of fun. So that is the difference. And people confuse us all the time, and it's always weird to me. But it's normally done with a good heart, except when they call me racist towards white people.
Because you're white and your wife is white.
Yeah, it's really weird. And it's very slim majority. The majority of people are overwhelmingly nice, and that is what I... That's what I stick with, man. You got to focus on the positive, and I'm very grateful for all the opportunities that have kind of been presented to me.
I did have one dude this weekend at MegaCon when they met me. Like, I thought you were black.
Yeah. I don't understand
I don't either. I don't get it.
And I do want to thank everybody at Harry Buffalo yesterday who set up a nice table for the Game of Thrones ending season series finale. Ah, Game of Thrones, for all of you who listen to our spoiler-filled breakdown. You got to witness something real special. You know, we don't know when they don't come around that often, man. The last time I can remember a big ending like this that was very underwhelming was Lost.
Although Sopranos was pretty good.
I liked the ending.
I did, too.
Dexter's another one of those. People hate the ending.
I was never into Dexter's, but I heard nothing but bad things about the Dexter one. But I shouldn't judge because I didn't watch the show. Shout out to Game of Thrones. What I think is almost a perfect ending. I really do. I thought it was just so well done.
Were you sad when you knew it was over?
I was a little sad. Yeah, I was watching with a friend of mine, Kim, who we had her daughter over the weekend. And we realized in the midst of her coming over, I was like, you're a fan? I'm a fan because my wife does not watch it at all. Didn't even ask when I got home. Like, hey, so how was she? Just doesn't care.
Could care less. She doesn't like movies, really.
She's no, unless it's a Hallmark movie. Then she'll tell you every facet, like what's happening with Aurora Mysteries.
Does that drive you a little crazy? Because the Hallmark movie is not really, the highest of quality movie.
Honestly, I used to think that long, long 15 years before I ever found my wife, that I would, that would be my thing with my wife. Like, you know,
we watch
like,
movies together.
We watch movies and then we break it down and then we talk about it afterwards. Like, and then I end up marrying somebody that
loves TV, loves documentaries, supports me as an actor through and through and through. But it's just not. And honestly, at this stage in my life, it's not like I'm watching a ton of movies anyway. I fill my life with all the stuff I want to do, and so I do get to catch movies. But I watch a lot more TV because it's a little more accessible. And on this date, 2007, my favorite TV show of all time aired its 400th episode. When you started talking episodes, I thought you were going to talk about this, The Simpsons.
Oh,
in 2007. 400 episodes. Ryan Holmes, if you could look up a little more info on The Simpsons, because I didn't get the current stuff. I got basically what happened in 2007. You know, it started off of the Tracy Ullman show and then was one of Fox's big shows. And it premiered with December 1989. I was literally the same age as Bart. That's why I think I connected with him so much. So I wanted to be the red hat kid because he wore a red hat. And I remember watching Simpsons roasting on an open fire. It was the Christmas episode where they had Santa's little helper.
Oh, yeah.
And now, similar to a lot of things that have been around for a while, they like to say it's passe. It's, oh, you watch The Simpsons? I'm a Family Guy. I'm a Bob's Burgers. I'm an Archer guy.
But it's still on, man.
It's still on. It's still funny. I still record all the episodes. It's a perfect lunch show to watch.
Are you still watching?
Yeah, yeah. Not like every Sunday I got to watch, but it's backlogged on my DVR. And guys who hate on it, who say, oh, you know, Family Guy's better. There would be no Family Guy without The Simpsons. Plain and simple. Like, they ripped off the entire family. Yep. Peter is Bart. You know, Marge is whatever her face is. And then they did the biggest cheating thing ever on a show, which is cut into a non sequitur. And it is funny as hell. Don't get me wrong. It's funny as hell.
I love this is the nerd thing you'll argue about.
I know, right?
This is where it's at, right here.
Hey, I'm willing to go deep into it. But in 2005, The Simpsons became the longest running sitcom ever, passing who, Russ? What sitcom was on that?
Sitcom?
It's going to be so hard for you to get. It ran 14 seasons, 1952 to 1966.
I Love Lucy.
No, Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The classic.
The classics. Over the years, the series racked up no fewer than 23 Emmys and was named by Time Magazine as the number one show, best TV show of all time.
Wow.
If they do it now, does it still win the best TV show of all time?
What?
No.
Ozzie and Harriet?
No. The Simpsons. Entertainment. Entertainment Weekly's classic show as well.
I actually started rewatching The Simpsons, not going back, but just checking out the newer episodes.
Yeah.
It's different than what I remember, and I like it.
Yeah.
They did, like, the newest one I saw, they did about competitive video gaming.
Right.
It was a good episode.
And they've always been on the cutting edge of satire, and, I mean, they predicted Trump's presidency. It is insane what they, how many episodes has it run now?
552 episodes. It would take you 202 hours and 24 minutes to binge watch the whole thing.
Damn. Well, shout out to The Simpsons, my favorite show of all time. I wish I had all the toys and I didn't give it to that guy who said he was going to sell it and then he never sold it and then he got rid of it. Screw you, Will! All right, moving on. This week in box office.
Oh, yeah.
Man, oh, man. How the mighty have fallen.
Well,
this little tiny
it's not really a
movie
fall.
Just has lost steam, okay? The Avengers have been overtaken by Angel Rivera's favorite. I'm guessing you didn't see it because you were pretty busy this weekend.
What?
John Wick'd it.
Yeah. I owe someone an apology, and I'll get to that part later because that's not important.
Okay.
But I was going to be someplace else, but the opportunity came, got tickets, and to see it in a fancy theater.
John Wick 3, right?
John Wick 3 Parabellum.
Yes.
And all I got to say is this. Wow.
You love it.
It is awesome.
Angel,
awesome.
Everybody that came up at MegaCon had seen it the night before, and they're like, oh, my God, you got to see John Wick 3. Like, everyone was all positive reviews.
My God, it made a lot of money, man.
It was amazing. Look, this is one of the reasons why I love the John Wick movies. They have their rules. They have, their ground rules to their universe.
That they live in, yeah.
They set in John Wick 1.
What are the ground rules?
Just certain things that you have to suspend belief. And so there's certain hierarchies and their mysticism and the council and this. And there's, you know, he fought to get out of the gang and now they pulled him back and he broke a rule. And even though he's the star of the series,
yeah.
And John Wick 2, he broke one of the rules, and that's what puts him in really, really peril in number three. And they didn't give him a break because he's the star of it, of the thing, and number three. And so he had to deal with some S. It was awesome. All the things that you fell in love with, they're there even more. Halle Berry crushes it.
She good at it?
Oh, she is awesome in
it. Still beautiful?
Yes. And there's the scene with the horse in the trailers is ridiculous. It's even more ridiculous when you see the whole thing play itself out. Halle Berry's character has a pair of dogs that I walked out of there and I was like, if I can have a set of dogs, that's what I want my dogs to do.
Oh, really?
Dogs.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. But it was awesome. It's a fantastic movie.
It beat the Avengers, but you know, Avengers third week out, and I mean, God, everybody's already seen it. It still made $29 million, but John Wick made, they're still tallying it, but in 3,800 theaters, it made $48 million, but I think it's up to 50 something now. Huge, huge, huge opening weekend for John Wick, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Carlos, what did you think at MegaCon? Did you notice a lot of Avengers costumes, or did you see? I did see some. I'm not saying there weren't any, but it seemed like it was definitely more anime, and it was almost like it wasn't cool to be an Avenger. That's too mainstream
right,
now.
Yeah, I could see that. They definitely had some Avengers, but way more anime. Anime is most conventions are anime conventions.
That's
a lot of
weird. I didn't know any of that stuff.
And way more Game of Thrones cosplay. More Game of Thrones cosplay than ever.
Would you guys say in that world, right, in the cosplay world and everything, that almost Marvel, because of the popularity, and it's gotten so huge, that that's almost a cop-out?
Yeah.
Because the guys that do that and entertain that, they're hardcore, and they build their costumes, they put them together, that if you go to one of these things and you've done a Marvel character, it's almost like you're a tourist.
Yeah, I see
what
you're saying.
What I mean?
I could see that. I could see that. The Fat Thor was pretty funny because it was, like I said, just a bunch of fat guys were like, hell yeah, now I got my character, no costume, just a robe and a beard. So, it was cool to see. And, so congrats to John Wick and Keanu Reeves. I'm sure we'll see John Wick 4 or maybe a 4. You'll never know. But I do know one thing. Today will be a great day. To the top. Never stop.
Your chance for $1,000 is here now. Listen for the keyword. Text it to 200-200 and be the 17th person to win $1,000 on Real Radio 104.1. Good luck to you. All right, you're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.
From
Real
Hey, good luck. Then we've done, we've given away $16,000. You could be next. I would love to see you win next. Just text that keyword you just heard, the 200-200, and remember to answer the phone about an hour afterwards. That could be iHeart calling you to tell you you won the money. So good luck to you. Welcome back to the Monsters in the Morning, Real Radio 104.1. Hey, go to the website at monsters.fm. There'll be pictures and stuff up from MegaCon, which is a lot of fun. It was a good time, and those are up on monsters.fm. Guess what I do today, guys? At like 2:45, I got to get that gel that I had to order. Well, first they told me,
Turkish gel?
I had to order it, right? And they said if you order it from America, it was like $1,200. If you get it from Canada, it was like $285. They got a special on it from Turkey. And you get turkey gel. and that turkey gel was like $220. So I go today, and the doctor puts the gel in my knee. And
that is so weird. That's what I do with my auto mechanic. Is I get the part from Discount Auto Parts.
Isn't that weird?
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, I can get you the part, puppy, but... It's going to be like $200 if you want to go down the street and bring it in.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, so the doctor's just telling me, hey, here's a number. Call it. You can get it from Canada. It's much cheaper. And then the Canada people said, hey, you can get it from Turkey. It's much cheaper. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. So it comes in these three boxes. And
from
now
Butterball.
I take it to my doctor, and I got to put this turkey gel in my knee, or he's going to do it. And I talked to people over the weekend at MegaCon, and they were like, hey, man, it didn't help me. It just made it worse. It just hurt.
But are those people bigger? Are those people...
Bigger than me?
Yeah, are they...
Nope.
But, weight on knees is a huge deal. And most people are like, hey, they shot up my knee.
I see what you did there.
You like that?
Huge.
But, like, if you're, it's one thing to get the gel in there, and then you're able to lose some weight, relieve some pressure off of it. But if you're like, hey, got the gel? Keep on eating, keep on not working out, then it's going to go bad again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, and aren't you just masking it?
Here's what's happened. Yeah, it's
what is the issue with your knee?
It's bone on bone right now because the cartilage has, you know, with all the things I've done with professional wrestling or wrestling or football and all that stuff.
Or just living.
Yeah, living La Vida Rossi.
A lot of those things. Yeah, right, one time in the ring with a blue meanie, I don't think blew this out.
That was not one time, and there were three many battles over years of coming off that second rope.
Yeah, it's definitely nothing to do with...
Everyday walking for you is coming off the second rope with the weight you're putting on it.
Did your wife not have the same problems, Carlos Navarro? With her knees?
No, she ripped a meniscus, and she's... No, it's not the same thing.
Oh, it wasn't the same thing?
No.
Well, I thought you said it was the same thing.
I was going to say, I don't think Megan Navarro has the same problem.
Well, it's pretty tiny.
The cartilage has been, torn away or whatever.
There's so many different things that can go wrong with the knee.
Bone on bone. So I said, listen, I'll go ahead and do the knee replacement. And he's like, nope, you're too young for that. You don't need it yet.
Too hot.
No way. If you wear shorts, people see the scar is going to turn around.
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't do it. He's like, no, because he's not a guy that runs to doing, an operation or surgery right away. He's like, if you get this this gel put in your knee, you'll be fine, and you'll be able to, you know, do whatever you got to do. So anyway, I go today. I'm a little nervous about it because about five people at MegaCon told me, oh, man, when I did it, it hurt even worse.
Yeah. I say they were dressed as Fat Thor.
Yeah.
No, they weren't fat people. They weren't. I don't think they were.
You just told us they were bigger than you.
Yeah.
No, I was bigger than them.
Oh.
I'm a pretty big feller. I'm nervous about the turkey gel, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you ain't never been nervous about turkey.
Yeah. I mean, what could go
I'm
wrong?
I'm nervous you're going to eat it.
What could possibly go wrong? You got this gel from the turkey that hasn't been FDA approved because you got. Of all the things that you do, I have no problem paying money for this. I have no, but you're going to skimp on medication and look for the cheapest.
You paid $4,000 for a frame last week. You can't buy real turkey, real gel.
I know. My wife, though, she seems to reward me whenever I get a deal. Like, it makes her happy if I get a deal.
What's the deal in you getting this gel and then a week from now you're getting it amputated?
I was like, honey, guess what? I got discount turkey gel. I got discount gel for my knee. I got it from Turkey. And she was so happy that I got a deal and a discount.
There's some things you shouldn't skimp on, though, especially when it comes to your health and injecting things into your body. I don't trust the amount of hands that have touched this gel. The way it's gone through the supply chain here.
What's this doctor's name?
Because Dr. Mikesh.
Oh, is this Dr. Mikesh?
Hello, yes, Ross.
Yes.
Hello, I was given this number to check on my patient.
Yes.
Yes, Ross Rollins. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I want to check your you received the turkey gel.
I got 3 boxes of gel for my knees. From Turkey.
Oh, yes. You got deluxe order. You put it on American Express green card, yes?
Gold card, but yeah, okay.
Hey, let me look over what you typed in because we have very thorough examination.
Okay, for my turkey gel, yeah.
Number one, it says you are one of the hottest dudes in Orlando.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
B, that you are a former pro wrestler.
This is true.
Yes.
Epic battles. Epic battles with the Blue Meanie. Yes.
Blue who?
Blue Meanie.
Blue, I am big fan. I know Cena. I know Andre Giant, but who?
Mark Mero. You ever heard of him? Jeff Jarrett?
Mark Mero. I cry with the mom video every time I see it.
Classy Chris Nelson. I won the title from him.
From Jerry Springer fan?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, I will also look over your details that you typed in.
What else?
You have a size 12 shoe, yes?
I do.
Okay, that is good. The weight. Now, weight is very important, okay?
Okay.
Because this turkey gel has maximum.
I do have weight.
Maximum weight.
An elevator.
Of 215 pounds.
Ooh.
What, on one knee?
Oh, my God. You right here that you say you weigh close to 3 bills?
No, I do not.
He's never seen 300,
doctor. 300, doctor. You know what? What kind of doctor are you anyway?
I am I'm a very important doctor. I ship you turkey gel. You love turkey gel. Now, look, Russ, you cannot eat the gel, number one, okay?
You rub it on? No, I guess you got to inject it, right?
Well, you got to baste yourself, really.
Thank you very much, Booger Beard. I'm a big
fan. Oh, he even knows your name!
Listen, iHeartRadio, number one in turkey doctor's office.
Turkey doctor's office.
Favor, okay?
Make a t-shirt for him.
Please, please, be very careful. Turkey gel, maximum load, 220 pounds.
Hey,
please,
was okay? I for some reason, I kept thinking I was supposed to keep this turkey gel in the refrigerator, but...
Yes. Right, this is not cranberry sauce. You are not going to lay a little layer between your turkey and brioche bun for a delicious snack.
Okay, so how do you inject the, I mean...
Dr. McKesh, real quick, before
yes,
that...
Angel Rivera, I like your suit. I saw Runway to Hope picture on the Facebook.
Thank you very much. Now, before we get to like specific details on injection processes and things like that, with that gel, should he have his doctor here in America go over it and make sure it meets specifications?
Oh, no, it's okay. It's good. Everything up and up. No, definitely did not make it in my bathtub. I definitely... Made in a very clean factory.
Doctor!
There's another order going out, and it is looking good.
Doctor!
Seal it up.
Let me ask this question. Why is it costs $1,200 here in America, $285 in Canada, and only $215 in Turkey?
Oh, well, it's definitely not because we just fill it with other fake things. Number one, all of the ingredients in the new turkey gel is number one for knees with big men, okay?
Okay.
So, but that other stuff is crap. Now, if you put on the button where you just reorder every month, your knee's going to be good.
Well, they say every, like, 7 or 8 months I need more turkey gel.
No, sir. I am looking at picture now. You're going to need every month.
That's okay. I'm not getting a shot in my knee every month.
You never know. Look, Russ, you are one of our biggest supporters, okay? How many turkey boner pills have you bought from us?
I don't have... That's...
Hey, boys, it's Russ Rollins, the man who has kept us all in business. Hey, Russ Rollins! Turkey boner pills!
I would think HIPAA rules with me and you wouldn't say something like that on the radio.
Well, in Turkey, we stick on HIPAA, okay? HIPAA-hippity-hop. We don't have any of that. I can put your resume out in the middle of the street. And they will say, oh, is that the man who fought classic Chris Nelson?
The blue meanie?
Is, please, be careful with the turkey gel. Do not eat the turkey gel, okay?
I'm not eating the turkey gel. I got to take it to my doctor in America today, and he's supposed to shoot me up with it.
Okay, shoot it up, man. That's the good stuff, okay? I'm just checking on you.
How big is the needle, Dr. McGee? What is your name?
McKesh.
Dr. McKesh.
Yeah. Depends on how much. You look like you have at least 3/4 inch of fat thick skin. So you have what we call in Turkey a rhino skin.
I like the way you rolled your R when you said that.
Oh, it's amazing. I took a span. It's 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Yeah, where are you from, Dr. McKesh? Are you Turkish?
Yes, I'm a Turkey. Yes.
You're working on that accent, huh?
Yeah, come on. I mean, I'm from a town called Şəlbəkətəş.
This one's in development. Yes, we go.
Yeah, I'm a doctor, okay? Are you really a Denmark man? Okay, I doubt your existence, too.
Dr. McKesh by way of Brooklyn.
Yes.
Angel's good man. I send him other turkey gel for the ladies. It's the same gel.
What is this turkey gel made out of?
Yeah, what is it made of?
Oh, number one ingredient is love. number two ingredient, KY jelly. Number three ingredient, salt and Himalayan salt. And last ingredient is secret, and that is how we sell so many.
So, okay, there's three boxes that came in the mail.
That's good.
Are they going to put all three boxes in one knee, or is that just like one box for this month and another one for 2 months from now?
That is a good question, Russ Rollins. Okay, first box is if you are 220 pounds. Okay?
Yeah.
You're going to need two boxes if you are past 250. And three boxes if you're looking at 300. Russ, where do you fall?
Hey, somewhere in the middle.
We're going to need another box, boy.
These are three boxes, four boxer.
Turkish best gel in the business, and if anybody needs it, you go to my website. It's turkeygelandkneeforbigguys.com, and we get it right over to you. We have in Turkey, we don't call it prime, we call it package, and you can get it in within 90 days.
Doctor, how fast would you think I'll be able to get back into the gym after I do the turkey gel shot?
Oh, as fast as a rhino hit with a tranquilation dart.
Okay, well, there's Dr. Machichicha. What is
McCash.
It?
Whatever. McCash, man.
Machichicha.
What are you there?
Dr. McCash. All right.
From Italy?
He was Italian?
He was, well, by way of Brooklyn.
He lived in Turkey. He was Italian, and he rolled his R's like a... I don't get it. All right, when we come back, it's time for the King of Denmark, Ryan
now
Holmes.
There's an accent, yeah.
You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Hey guys, I'm kind of excited because tomorrow we're scheduled to talk to Paul Stanley of Kiss, which I've been reading his book, and of course you guys know I'm a big Kiss fan.
Are you?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah.
That hurt.
And he's my favorite member. So.
But he's not even in Kiss.
What are you talking about?
He's not in Kiss.
Paul Stanley is Kiss, dude. He is the lead singer. He is the band.
Oh, wait. I'm thinking of the other one.
You're talking about Ace Frehley.
Ace Frehley.
That's
the whole other show. You were trying to start drama, and you picked the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Aren't we talking to Ace Frehley?
No, we are talking to Paul Stanley tomorrow. Ace Frehley is going to be at Monster Ween on October 27th at Hard Rock Live, and it's going to be a big show. So there you go. You tried to get me, but you can't.
Don't mess with the roster. Kiss.
Don't mess with me with Kiss.
Well, I'm trying to come up with a Kiss trivia because we're doing the Monster Ween thing. I want to do an event before that where we do Beat Russ and Kiss trivia.
Oh, my God, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'll do that. Nobody can beat me.
Well, I guess we'll find out. The hardest part is going to be coming up with the questions because I clearly have no idea who's in the band right now.
Yeah. If you're saying Paul Stanley's not in Kiss, you know
is
nothing.
Is he the dog one?
There's no dog. There's no dog.
There's a dog.
There's a cat.
A Pikachu.
Spaceman.
Spaceman.
Yeah, a devil, right?
Yeah, the demon. Gene Simmons, the demon. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the Star Child.
There's a Pikachu one.
Star Child. Isn't that David Bowie?
No.
Yeah, that's where they got their bit from,
right? David Bowie.
David Bowie's the star man.
Oh, I got hit by Target Joe.
Star Child. Shut up. It's time for the stupid King of Denmark.
Not a good way to roll into your bet.
My goodness. Apparently, we found the line, everybody. People ask me all the time, where's Russ's line? I just found it.
Talk bad about Kiss.
Say there's a Pokemon character in Kiss, and he's going to lose his mind. My God, it's just Juggalos for baby boomers.
Damn.
You're
off the show.
Super excited. Talk to Violent J tomorrow.
Yeah. Cut off his mic. You're off the show.
It's fine. Everybody's got their fandom, man, and that's cool. That's what I learned this weekend going to MegaCon.
There's a place for everybody.
You did show up. So, okay, Carlos came and hang out with me.
Yeah, man.
Where were you there, Booger Beard?
I had a show.
And I'm sitting there telling him how wonderful you are. And, hey, you got to go see. You know, I saw James John. Yeah, James John came to say hi. He bought a comic book, gave me a high five.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So he said he was going to show up someplace to hang out with you and didn't show up?
Did not show up.
The stones on that guy.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there telling him how wonderful you are.
Yeah.
What am I, Angel Rivera? Oh, wait. Angel ghosted me not once, but twice.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well, he don't like you.
He said he was going to come to Ember. Last time I went to Ember, and he's like, you know, and he tells me in the office, he's like, hey, bro, I'm really sorry about last time. This time, I got you.
I heard this.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry I ghosted you. I got you this time.
Hey, man. John Wick 3. It was you versus John Wick 3.
Oh, you're right.
Parabellum.
It doesn't play all the time.
Is that the person you stood up?
Yeah. Yes!
Oh, that's beautiful.
This dude goes and sees a movie you can get gone and seen all weekend at any time. And
he's busy.
I was busy all weekend. That was the only hours I had that could have been.
Well, you could
have had wiggle room.
You could have invited Ryan to go with you to the movie.
No, he was. He had obviously had a commitment.
What was your commitment?
I was at Ember.
Oh.
Yeah, so I had to be at Ember, which was super fun.
By the way,
yeah, you got I love you drunk.
And that's fine. Look, if you're gonna get a level of drunk, my top level is I love you drunk.
Wow.
So I love you drunk and then sleep. That's all I got. I'm not a mean person, one way or the other, unless I'm doing this bit, I guess. But other than that, I'm pretty nice. But proclamation number one, no more tequila shots for the King of Denmark. Stop trying to feed me.
What do you think happens when you say that out loud?
Here comes more tequila.
No, I think they'll be respectful and they'll listen.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
We're a fan of Casa de Amigos tequila, and you can drop the cases off here.
My God. Like, I'm not even that big of a drinker. I like to drink every now and then. But since doing this Ember gigs, it's become a fun game to, like, see how far we can get Ryan to go.
Yeah, you're pretty weak with your drinking game, I'll be honest with you. You three or four beers novice. And you're... Yeah, you just...
I just plateau very quickly. So, like, it's like three Bud Lights, and I'm going to stay that same level of I love you. It doesn't take much. I'm a big man, but my metabolism's fast.
You're not that tall, dude.
And you're not really that big of a man. You're kind of a scrawny man. You're sort of scrawny.
The number one comment people say to me is when I walk up, and they go, wow, you're really tall. I didn't think you were like that
tall. Never heard that. I've been around you a lot and never heard
that. No, you've never heard that said to you.
Ow!
No, actually,
that's what people say it all the time.
I had someone at the bank, I'm like, I thought Carlos would be shorter. He's really tall.
So I love it.
And they're like, I thought you'd be fatter, Russ.
They never normally say it.
I know. I wanted to hang out at MegaCon. Like, I thought I had the whole Sunday.
James John came and hung out. Carlos came and hung out. I was there all weekend.
I had the whole Sunday to do it, and then my girlfriend had an allergic reaction to getting fake eyelashes, which is interesting. So I stayed home, and I took care of her for most of the day. I did get to see MegaCon. And normally I do the show that's on at the beginning of MegaCon, and you see all the cosplay at the beginning of MegaCon, and it's beautiful. It's on point.
Yeah.
By the time you get to Sunday, it's dirty. It's sort of falling apart. It stinks.
People have been having sex in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of cosplay sex happening over the weekend.
I'm telling you, they're very sexual. I don't care. I mean, I know we argued about this a little bit, but it's a lot of sexy sex.
Yeah. And if you're going to dress up for MegaCon proclamation, you gotta look like the thing that you're dressing up. And I don't mean like if you're by like race, you can be whoever you want. I think that's a weird rule that some people apply. Like if you can only be the character, like the race of the character that you are. No, none of that.
Oh, hell
but
no.
But if you're Captain America, you can't be fat Captain America.
No.
Oh, I saw several fat Captain Americas.
No, I'm sorry. If you're going to be the superhero, you got to be all out that superhero. Otherwise, you're Captain America, and the only thing you're fighting is diabetes.
Yep.
Just eating, just using your shield as a bowl and stuff in your face. So no fat Captain Americas.
Captain America.
Captain America.
I told you I saw the guy. His face looked like... the pirate.
Jack Sparrow.
Sparrow, yeah, and he was Captain, and he had a Captain America. So it was Captain Jack Sparrow.
And that's fine, but I agree with what Angel said earlier. That's just somebody who was, like, real lazy with their cosplay and had two costumes, and they're like, oh, I'm not quite done yet, and I'm just going to sew these two things together.
They went to Halloween City on November 1st, and they bought, like, there's a jack, well, it's missing the bottom part, and then there's, well, I'm just combining.
I saw a fat Iron Man. And he had a big Iron Man costume, and it was funny.
Yeah, you can't do that. It's just weird. And the excitement that was in the air for Game of Thrones, which is cool. I just had my Game of Thrones T-shirt on. I wasn't cosplaying. Everybody was like, "Oh, the man tried by combat too." All right, dope. But look, if you're mad about the end of Game of Thrones, I get it. But shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
shut up.
It's they multi. Seasons, 76 episodes, millions of dollars for you to watch this thing, and at the end of it, just be happy.
The people bitching about it can barely get a grammatically correct tweet out. Okay, they're using like "you are," you know, different. I mean, and complaining about what people put their blood, sweat, and tears for.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, I mean, like, I've spent a lot of time doing. I've read all of the books. I've watched 76 hours. Of this TV show. I can say I can say phrases in High Valyrian. I know the full name of Daenerys Targaryen if you want to do that.
Let's hear it.
But I also don't know how compound interest on my student loan works. So I feel like I'm putting my time and effort into the wrong things. And for me, Game of Thrones ending is an ending of all of this nonsense that I do. And I don't see myself getting into another nonsensical thing.
So no more guff for your own self is what you're saying.
Right. Because, it's motivational speaking to myself. It's a no guff to me about myself.
You've been guffing yourself for years.
That's right. I just don't want to end up looking back and going like, I wasted so much time with something so stupid and argued about something so silly and so dumb. I could have been living my best life, all right? I could just be at home just eating and getting fat.
Just eating and getting fat.
Yeah. You look happy. That's what I'm saying.
I'm a very happy man. Yeah. But you know what? You know, you bought that really expensive little piano thing.
Yeah, my little piano. You know, piano. Yeah.
I haven't seen one little piano.
Not one ditty.
Not since you tried to do it the one time and you totally blew it. So you've been just studying Game of Thrones since you bought that thing. Now you can throw yourself into your little piano, your little organ.
To be fair, I learned the theme song for Game of Thrones on that little organ.
It won't be Jack Black's version. It won't be Jack Black's version.
Did he do a... I'm already behind?
Yo, dude, Angel, if you can find Jack... It's on his Instagram. His version of the Game of Thrones beats whatever you're going to create with that stupid little piano.
Wow.
When are you going to create something with that stupid little piano?
When are you going to create something other than a half-naked lady stabbing people with needles?
Oh.
Your little comic book.
I'm doing pretty good, I think. I think I'm fine.
I know. You're actually crushing it. I can't make fun of your comic book at all. It sucks. Sucks. The only thing I can make fun of is your new porno called Bone on Bone.
Hell yeah.
It's Bone on Bone.
Yeah. You fought the blue meanie, but now you got a blue weenie. Ah! Check out Russ's new turkey jello, sponsored by Butterball.
Did you write them down, or you just on the top of the dome there?
Those three I wrote down. I just wanted, I wanted to get that one out there.
Oh my god!
I could tell he was forcing them, so I knew he'd written them down.
Look, once I heard Bone on Bone, I was like, "There's a joke there. We'll get to it at some point."
I do. It is Bone on Bone. It does hurt.
Because, ladies, the only thing left when I'm done with you is bone.
Bone.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I just appreciate everybody. In proclamation number three, I appreciate everybody who comes to Embert, everybody that supports the events, especially our huge amount of female listeners.
Oh, no. They tell us there are no women that listen to the Monsters. None. Not one.
That is not true. I met a bunch. Like, Amy Hurley was out there. Mr. Amy Hurley. Tony Chase. But, like, all these listeners that I meet, I appreciate y'all so much. So, everybody who comes to the events.
You're not going to start crying, are you?
Yeah. I'm not going to start crying.
You okay?
No.
Hello, baby.
They told me, I think Tanya and a couple other people that came out to MegaCon that saw him on Friday at Ember, they said, he was I love you drunk. He was crying. He was kissing people. God. He was like, I love you guys.
I'm sorry that I'm a man that's free with my feelings and I'm in touch and I can say to people when I like them and when I love them. I think that's okay. I'm a 2019, fully functional, fully woke adult. I'm sorry that you're so your feelings are so reserved and so deep down inside of you.
No. But, nobody's ever accused me of that.
No?
No.
All right.
Boy, you back off easy. Man, I swear to God.
No, because what I have
to... Okay.
Okay, my bad.
Duly noted.
There is no fight in him at all.
No.
I lay down my sword, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you win. Have a good day. The Lannisters of King's Landing, I've set my sword down. Please don't stab me in the back.
He turned into some nerd joke I didn't get.
Oh, booger beer bending the knee.
Just know, when you're with me and the Monsters, your family, and you can always join us at the YouTube channel by clicking through monsters.fm. Do that. Hang out with us. And if you like hanging out with me and you want to see more and meet some other like-minded Monster fans, I have a show next Friday at the Bloodhound Brew. And you can find out about get tickets at bloodhoundbrew.com. And it's a stand-up show. I'll be featuring it. It's going to be a great time. So check that show out. And so... Hey, Chubby.
All right, you're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. Hey, thank you for listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. We have a great website, monsters.fm, and I'll be putting some stuff up there a little bit later on today, and you can always check up stuff that we've put up past couple weeks at monsters.fm. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos and Ryan Holmes all here today. Like I said, tomorrow we're going to have Paul Stanley on the air, which is kind of cool, and then we've got a bunch of stuff planned this week. You were asking me something, Ryan Holmes, and I'm trying to remember what it was.
Do you think I'm cute?
That's what
I was saying. My abs are pretty sweet.
Here's that Jack Black thing.
Oh, you got
song.
It. Yeah. I want you guys to hear this.
Game of Thrones.
We're not going to hear it anymore. So sad. It's over.
Pretty good theme song, huh?
Man, it's class. I mean,
wherever he was at right now, it must have been. I mean,
premiere somewhere, right?
Because what's awesome about this, you could tell that he just had a few hours to burn. had nothing else to do. He did this someplace where he's at early in the morning and had basically the run of whatever city he is at. He's got the run of because they let him inside a theater, they put him on top of a building, and like there's absolutely no other human beings around in him. He's doing this with his one camera shoot, and he spliced all this together.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's on his Instagram.
Yeah, it's on his Instagram. It was great. I listened to it like a million times, and
that's funny.
He's a talented guy.
I'm looking forward to going home and watching it today.
You're gonna love it.
Yeah.
It's the end of an era.
It is. And does every
we say that after every one of these? There's going to be another project.
Another
can we all remind
like.
Ourselves of that? Can when that happens, Angel, when that next show hits, is that show here now? Because I want to be on it from the very beginning. Well, I like being a part of it.
That show might be already. That's the thing. That show might be already because it all matters of what as the masses that it moves to.
It might already be playing.
It might be two seasons in already.
Here's what happened to me, though. I didn't think I was ever going to find anything I liked as much as Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad was so great, right? And then it took a while. And then for me, it was Bloodline, but that wasn't a big hit with everybody. Just for me personally, it's just what I, you know.
Well, you could go back further. Go back for a lot of people, enjoy. It was Sopranos was the first time that collectively, huge mass of people started talking about. And then it started happening after that. Because after that, the next show that I remember is Lost.
Yeah.
Then Breaking Bad. And then, but that's what I'm saying. Lost.
A lot of people loved Lost.
But it did captivate a huge. A huge following, and people were talking about it every week when that episode dropped.
For me, it would be Bloodline, which Carlos was in, and then Ozark, which I think is brilliant, and it's coming back, right?
It is. But
if Ozark to jump into that next stratosphere, something huge has to happen.
You know what was one? Because what does it have to do? It has to change culture, or it has to permeate culture in a way that, like, even if you don't know it, people know it. And I think Stranger Things was that for a little bit.
Yeah, it was for people.
But it didn't stick.
I didn't really care for it, but a lot of people loved it.
I loved the first season. I never finished the second season.
Yeah, because, the first season was it was so nostalgic.
Yeah.
And that's really what it was hitting on for everybody. So to do that again in the second season, I made it through all the way. It was cool. But it wasn't. It was more the same as the first thing.
You know, this is the beauty of this conversation because someone texts in a show, and I love this show. I watch the hell out of this show. But for most people, yes, if you're talking quality, it was a great show. But to get into that stratosphere of that, it was something that was talked about weekly. Out of our group, how many of us can say that we watched The Wire from beginning to end?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
So the texters that you guys are texting in, yes, The Wire was an amazing show. Yes, it goes down as one of the greatest series ever. But to get to that level. We're talking Game of Thrones level. As a fan of The Wire, I have to admit it's a notch underneath that because it doesn't get into the fabric of every day. It doesn't catch the casual viewer.
There are shows that had huge success. You know, the first season, maybe second season, but didn't. Then it tapers off. Like Orange is the New Black. At first, it was on fire.
Yeah,
and then the last couple seasons, nobody cared about it.
But that was one of Netflix's first big original shows, and that's what also caught it. I can't bite the hand that feeds me. The Walking Dead definitely had that for a while, where everybody was talking about The Walking Dead. Now it's gone on so many seasons, and there are so many offshoots.
Yeah, I don't hear it as much anymore.
Yeah, because I mean,
I stopped watching when I realized there's not an end.
Yeah, that's a big reason for a lot of people, too. Yeah.
It's just dystopian, and it's just sad all the time, and it's never going to be happy. So it was hard to, like, emotionally continue to binge watch that show a lot.
Yeah, I get that.
Hey, I got an email here that we can answer if you guys don't mind. Anytime you have an issue, a problem, a situation, and you want to get our point of view, that we're glad to give it to you, you just send an email to me, Russ, at WTKS.com, and sometimes we'll read them on the air. If we read it on the air, you're eligible for a prize from the prize pinata, if that's what you would like. This says, hey, Russ, I've been listening to you guys for 12 years now. Each morning, and I watch you on YouTube, which is awesome. You ask your listeners to send in questions, so I've got a good one for you. This is Russ, I fell in love with this wonderful woman about 3 years ago. We live an hour apart, so there's a different travel. There is some traveling during the week and for the weekends for each of us. I got used to the OCD keeping my house clean. We're both the same way. I am clean as well. She has a dog and I have a dog. When the dogs go outside, when they do their business and they want to come back in, we take their paws, wipe their paws down and clean them. We don't let them just run in the house without washing their feet. Okay. That's fine. So I know, we love each other very much, but she asked me to move in with her so we could save money and go on trips and stuff together. I have no problem with that until she said, if I move in, I have to get rid of my dog because of the shedding and too much trouble to keep up with two dogs. I asked her to get rid of her dog, and the response was no way. I said no to getting rid of my dog, and we have not talked to each other in 3 weeks now. Would you get rid of your dog you've had for 6 years if you love someone that much? I kept my beagle, and now I'm sitting home alone. He says, I just wanted another opinion from the guys. Savannah could help if she's there.
Hey, I'm here.
Important note, my daughter bought me the dog for Christmas as a Christmas present, and that was 6 years ago. So,
my God.
You got a girlfriend, you think you love each other, everything's going wonderful and great. You decide to move in, and she's like, okay, now listen, we can't have two dogs. Your dog sheds too much, you got to get rid of your dog. And he's like, no, you get rid of your dog. And she's like, no. And then he hadn't talked to her in 3 weeks.
And first off, rewind. You wipe your dog's paws off when they come in the house?
I know people that do that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I'm a dirty slob, and we keep our house now, pretty damn clean.
But you don't wipe your dog's paws? Those big, giant, Bigfoot paws that he has?
No, I don't.
It's really common.
I'm super OCD, see, and I don't do it either.
I've never even heard of that, guys. And for somebody to want to give up the other person's dog because of a little more... Hey, guess what? It's called a Dyson vacuum, okay?
Yeah.
And you can go around the house in about 5 minutes. That is a deep-rooted thing. Yeah. Something to do with the dog, something to do with the daughter.
Honestly,
that's
Tim.
That's bizarre.
Tim, the fact that she asked you to get rid of your dog is...
that's step one.
That's bad.
That's bad.
She's going to ask you to get a lot more stuff.
Yeah, she's doing you a favor.
Woo! And then, of course, you had to retaliate, like... Well, you get rid of your dog, you know, like, no,
yeah, Angel,
man.
What would you do, Angel, if someone, you don't have a dog, I know, but if they...
I don't have a dog, and I already know what my answer is.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean...
So you would say, listen, if you're going to ask me, if she's going to ask you something like that, to get rid of the dog you've had for 6 years, it's not like a dog that you've had for 6 months.
Right.
A dog for 6 years, that's like saying get rid of your kid or your family member, and for her to not understand...
Yeah. For her to be, okay, think about it this way, for her to be a dog person, because obviously she has a dog and the commitment that she's made to that dog, for her to ask someone that's in her life to get rid of their dog... Lets you know the kind of person that she is. If she's going to ask you about that, and for you to be just casually and flip it to get rid of something like that, what else is she going to ask you for, dude?
So, bro, that's a huge red flag. And I was really bad about seeing red flags in the past.
Yeah, but this one, like a bull, and you ran right to him.
Yeah. I went right to red flags. This, my brother, is a red flag. Just like Angel said, she's doing you a favor. If she asks you to get rid of your dog.
And you don't even have to break up. If she's like, look, I'm sorry. And if she has real OCD, because I hate it when people throw the term out flippantly that they have OCD, because it's a real thing. If she has severe OCD, then you don't break up. Hey, right now, we're not going to move in together, so we don't, you know, we can't take those weekend trips to Savannah, Georgia. You know, we can still be together.
But it looks like she's offended that he said, well, you get rid of your dog.
Yeah.
So she got mad, and now they're not talking.
Kiss my ass. I'm not getting rid of my dog for a woman because she wants a little less cleanup.
No, if you're getting a dog, there's like a level of dirtiness that you're just going to have to deal with. And be okay. If you're a super clean person, sorry, you can't own a dog.
Right?
I just think that's a crappy question to even ask someone. Hey, move in with me, but you got to get rid of your dog.
Yeah, because we're trying to go to trips.
We're trying to save her. And basically, no one adopts old dogs, so you're asking to like get the dog put down, essentially.
Speaking of which, I know it's been a Game of Thrones day. Did you see the video of the guy, Braum? Who's the assassin that followed around? Anyway, one of the main guys did a video because the number of dire wolves that look that are basically husky mixes,
yeah,
since the show has been on the air, has exploded. And what happens? These are real big, tough dogs to handle. So people take them directly to the pound. So the pounds are filled with these dogs because people saw them on Game of Thrones like, I won't be Jon Snow.
I want one like Jon Snow.
You know, and me, I have a, reminding me of this because I have a big-ass dog now. It is a whole nother thing when you have a big dog, the responsibility. You know, I get up every morning, I run with the dog, because if not,
the big poop.
Yeah, my big labradoodle, you know. And
if they get out, pack of wild dire wolves?
Yes.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, so don't get a dire wolf. That's the last thing I'm going to say today on the show.
That's good. Good idea. Hey, what's going on this week? You got tomorrow night, you're going to be anywhere?
I'm buying a dire wolf.
Yeah. No.
Tomorrow night, I'll be at the Hammered Lamb. And then if you want to get tickets to my show at Bloodhound Brewery, which is next Friday, check out my Facebook or Instagram, and you can find out how to get tickets there.
Oh, by the way, if you want to email me like Tim did and see, let us talk about it on the air, you can do that. Just email me russ@wtks.com. That's russ@wtks.com. And if we read it on the air, you're eligible for a prize from the prize pinata. Angel, what you got this week?
Actually, this Sunday morning, 8:30 at Harry Buffalo, downtown Orlando, we're going to do an F1 watch party. We're going to watch F1, the race in Monaco. We're going to get to watch it live. Special menu, Heineken deals, and door prizes.
Carlos?
Check out. I'm putting up all the To The Tops every single day, To The Top Daily. Two ways of getting them. Obviously, monsters.fm. And if you go to iHeartRadio app, type in To The Top, Never Stop. Subscribe to that channel. I would appreciate it. And, of course, please follow me on Instagram. It's @ToTheTopCarlos.
Hey, if you did not get your copy of Jolly Jane Issue 3, well, we have a handful that are still left. And you go to BigCityComics.com. That's BigCityComics.com. Order it online, and Jeff Coppin will send it to you muy pronto. But thank you to everyone that came out to MegaCon and said hi and got my comic book, Jolly Jane. I'm glad everyone seemed to like it. And it will be a movie one day or a TV show. You wait and see. I guarantee that. And then tomorrow, we got Paul Stanley calling, which is pretty cool. Stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters. Then at 3 o'clock, it's the Jim Colbert Show. Then you got Tom and Dan, and we're back tomorrow to do our thing. From Ryan, Angel, and Carlos.
And the leader of this mess, Samaria Man, Russ, Fat the Turkey, Joe Rollins.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
We got to get the hell out of here.
Swirl.
To win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.